Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Whoa, look out! Look out! Whoa, look out! Look out!
Attention, Virginians. The Don and Mike Show is crossing the river and coming home to the fatal city of Herndon. Tomorrow at 8 p.m., the entire Don and Mike wacky crew depends on the hard times.
What the stink are they doing in there?
To be explained.
This town needs an enema.
Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
I hope you're rotten hell, you loser!
Don.
That's what I love about these high school girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hey, don't take clothes, man.
America's favorite junk.
I'm so wasted.
Ah, serve that.
Welcome to the Donna Mike Show.
Always a good one, yes.
I like that. It's nice and brief. Bingo.
One of my favorites. A really good one. My loyal listener, Paranoid.
Thank you, Paranoid.
And now, Jam Singers. Sing our name.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
All right, this is Robert the Millman.
Yo, yo.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Look out! Look out!
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Who he?
Exactly.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
don't get mentioned in the open anymore. You can tell by the smell. It is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody. On this Tuesday. 0926. Hot six.
That's my part.
It is September 26, 2006. You can call our show from anywhere in North America, including Canada. Call 877-365-3636. Want to hear us on your computer? You can go to the internet. Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Just click on Listen Live. Want to send us some of our voluminous fan mail?
Yeah.
God, it's piling up back there.
Oh, we love it.
Send all the fan mail.
You don't
email.
See it, but we love it.
Send the electronic mail. DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Attention, Yanni. He's our webmaster. And he's the guy who puts on the lipstick and kisses the photos that we send out.
And sprays a nice little perfume.
We do the same thing as Marilyn Monroe did.
Yes.
That is, someone sends us fan mail. And because it's important to CBS.
Yes.
So screw the fact that some listeners might actually like the fact that the show is available on iTunes.
They
do. They've still not come up with a convenient way for us to explain exactly how you can get the show on iTunes, although once a week I get an email from CBS saying, how come you're not hyping the iTunes thing?
Well, we know there are people that are enjoying it through that vehicle.
Yeah, so go to iTunes, just put Don Ampersand Mike, and it'll subscribe, you look at these flicks. And, of course, you don't need the iPod. Any MP3 will download what's there for you. So you can call us, you can email us, you can hear us on the intranet. And now, let's get the hate going. I'm a loving guy. I'm in a happy spot in my life. But Jesus Christ, we got Baby Number One Award, and we're giving this right now to the Hard Times Cafe. There will be no Reno Style show tomorrow night.
What?
Yeah, now dig this. We don't do the Las Vegas style shows that we used to do.
No.
Okay? We don't have girls doing the Monica Lewinsky cigar trick anymore.
Right.
You know, we don't have the naked people on stage making the human pyramid.
Right.
We really don't.
No.
What it has evolved into now are listener parties, but because it's really cheesy just to go somewhere and just stand there like a dick or sit at a table and make people stand in line like they're waiting to get Pete Rose's autograph.
We actually, we're the one that worked the room. We walked from corner to corner to corner, and we worked the whole room. We did that last time.
And frankly, if you show up at one of these joints for one of our shows, you got to get something out of it beyond just a handshake.
Sure.
And it's fun to get an X-rated on-stage show with stuff that you wouldn't hear on the radio.
Right.
Now, we've taken all the sex out of it. You know, we boldly said that we were going to have, and we still will do this at some point here, the disproportionate breast contest.
Uh-huh.
And again, no sexuality involved.
Mm-hmm.
The CBS attorneys.
Yeah.
Me. No, that happened.
I can tell you've been dealing with stuff.
That's a CBS attorney reaction.
Yep. You know that.
You know,
I can tell by that, and when I came into the studio and you told me about this, Rob's cheeks were red.
Yeah.
That's how I know something's been going on.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me.
Certainly.
I get that. When I say them, I mean them.
Right.
Our lawyers.
Right.
Our lawyers heard about this contest and said, that would be fine on the radio. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sexual about it. Women wearing bikinis, one breast bigger than the other.
Uh-huh.
Big deal. Good idea.
Right.
You know, they actually said something dumb like, you know, good idea. That's how y'all push the envelope without going over the line or whatever they said.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, you know what? We'll do this at the appearance.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So we promoted it for a couple of days. And beyond that, we have talked endlessly over the last 6 months, now that we've been doing these shows again, about what we do. That, you know, there's bad language used. There are friendly insults tossed at us and tossed at people in the audience.
Right.
Yes, it's a very rowdy and fun atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And
upbeat, that's right, Rob,
exactly.
Upbeat.
It's a comedy show, for God's sakes. So this dick at the Hard Times Cafe, and I hope this place is just emptier than the inside of his head tomorrow night, he calls today after 2 weeks of getting the free advertising and hearing all the stuff with, like, come on out and revel in the dirty fun and blah, blah, blah. He calls today, and his big issue is the contest.
Hmm.
So, Rob, speaking as my emissary,
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Has it been a tough day for him?
He caves right away on that. He says, okay, you don't want the contest? No problemo.
Okay.
Well, I've got a slight problem with that, but I wasn't even brought into the discussion at that point.
Okay.
I was brought into the discussion when this jerk then said, not only did he not want a contest there, but he wanted no content issues at all. Meaning, he wanted to make sure that what we said was okay while we're at a chili joint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? Pal, take that big wooden spoon and shove it. And his third demand, nothing demeaning towards women. Other than that, come on out and have a great time at entertaining your listeners. Doing a live on-stage show where it's just Mike and I and microphones, and the only props that we use are words.
And I think the words do eventually affect everybody, including ourselves.
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, that's the way it goes.
You know, it's funny stuff. I mean, It really is. It's uncensored stuff that you can't hear on the radio. And there's nothing better than Mike and I having a drink before we go out there.
Right.
And just riffing for an hour and talking about whatever the hell we want.
Right.
You know, and I don't know what this guy's problem is.
I would
is.
Describe it as relatively innocent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So exactly.
What I finally ended up telling this gentleman was just what I said. Take your big chili spoon and shove it up your big chili bowl butt.
Did you spoke personally?
Well, I spoke through Red Face.
Through Red Face?
That's why it's red.
Deepam Red Face was your emissary? It was a good day for you, huh?
He was on the cell, and I hear him on the cell with the guy, like, you know, gee, we're so sorry. And I'm giving him the look like, just tell this guy to screw off, please. And I'd like a refund for the advertising you got.
Right.
Because we promoted the goddamn thing for 2 weeks.
We did.
You know,
we did.
Until the last minute. And really, this is not a knee-jerk reaction, even though I am a jerk and I do have two knees.
Mm-hmm. Two healthy knees, right? Ever since you've been the one out in Nebraska?
Yeah.
When you were playing for the Cornhuskers?
The Cornhuskers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contest thing, you know, okay, Rob was a pussy about that. But even that could have been negotiated. You know, when a guy that sells chili for a living starts wanting to be a program director, that's where I get off. And that's where I say, you know what? We'll find another place. We'll have the show in a week, 2 weeks tops.
Right. Where we can have it and do the show.
Yeah.
Do the contest. Again, we're going to do the contest.
Yeah.
Right?
And our regular and the regular stuff we say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for God's sakes, God damn it. I mean, all you're really talking about is your majors, you know, F, MF, C, C sucker, S, lots of T.
Yeah, and I you know, I'm not an expert on this, but I mean, it's what we say.
Right.
It's what we say. It's words.
The
actions are not done anymore.
That was the guy's problem. The guy said, no content issues.
Hmm.
I said, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Nothing dirty. No, or nothing that he would find offensive. Oh, and then he ended it by saying he's still a big fan of the show.
Clearly.
Sure you do.
That reminds me of the old days when we used to do that. Uh-huh. You know, the same thing would happen where somebody want us to come in there and then bingo, all of a sudden they would say, well, maybe that's not what we want.
So I sincerely do apologize to all of our listeners who have been playing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Coming to this thing tomorrow night. Don't want to disappoint you. Don't want to sell you a bill of goods. You know, we don't charge nothing because, and here's another reason the guy can really just take a bite out of my rump. It's not like Mike and I or anybody is going down there collecting a check for this.
No.
Okay?
Right.
You know, the only guy when we do these appearances, the only guy that makes any money outside of Tom selling his crap is the guy that runs the place.
Right.
You know? And the sponsor that the station sells it to, the St. Pauli girl, has been sponsoring a lot of these things. You know, they figure out a way. It's not like Mike and I are getting rich on this. We're doing this because we want to get out. We want to connect with the people that listen to the show. And we just want to do it, not what we did 5 years ago.
No, when we did it 5 years ago, we used to get paid. We don't do it anymore.
But that's when we had, like, simulated sex on stage.
That required pay.
Animals. I mean, it was
dogs and cats.
It was a production.
Right.
You know, that's when, really, we went to Sacramento and 12,000 people show up.
Right. Yep.
I mean, they got to have a show. Now, we're talking about going to much smaller clubs. You know, I mean, come on.
Please. And just chatting.
Please. This was embarrassing to begin with. In the Kmart shopping center.
Yeah. We were going to talk.
That's
we
all.
We were going to talk. And we were going to, you know, have a little contest. That's
Hard Times Cafe, apparently.
No touching.
Afraid
right?
of
no words. Touching.
No touching. No touching. But even once that was off the table.
Yeah.
The guy was still a grade A prick with this whole, you know, no content issues, nothing demeaning towards women. Please, not except your wife.
I'm trying to think that really at the last one we did, we were demeaning towards everybody.
Yeah, it was a great show.
And it was fun.
All of these shows have been really good when we go out and we get to meet people, we get to screw around on stage. Again, our apologies. It's just, it would be better now to just tell the guy to screw off and hope that nobody shows up on a Wednesday night at his joint than to go down there and stand up on stage. And, you know, because I saw this going through my mind 1,000 different ways.
Like the microphone's being turned off or something like that?
It's not good either way. It ends up...
Yeah.
It always ends up with the same ending, though, with you and I overturning tables.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then being hustled out by the local security.
Yeah.
Very, very unpleasant.
It always ends
and then
bad.
Thrown out. It's like in the movies when you see somebody thrown out and we're thrown... And there's always an alley. Always a back alley where we're thrown into the back alley.
Like in Dick Tracy. Yeah, right.
Thrown into trash cans.
Into the ash cans.
you see, the problem is you guys, you're too dangerous. Shut and up. Your reputation precedes you.
We're hot.
You're rebels. And danger follows you. You have danger in your pocket.
And you're very close. You are very close to growing your first testicle.
And I saw that cheek.
Yeah.
And your cheeks are, I mean, you got the red cheeks going. It must,
right now.
All day you've been dealing with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
frustrating.
It's a stroke is what it is.
It's just a slow building stroke.
Slow burn.
It's like a Dick Clark stroke.
That's all.
That's what it is. Like a Dick Van Patten stroke.
Now, there's a show. If that ever happens to Rob. We don't even have to talk. We just put Rob up on stage and have him do that the whole time.
What do you mean if?
Our sincere apologies, Andy.
Yeah.
We will get that that bad boy going as fast as we can.
Good.
But shame on you, Hard Times Cafe. Shame on you. I'd spit.
What does George Bush say? Fool me once.
The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Right.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Well, won't be fooled again.
Right.
And listen, let me tell you something.
That's a secret about...
I'm sorry, I got him on the brain anyway. Don't you feel like wagging your finger in somebody's face?
That secret about the dog food chili is also no longer a secret, okay?
No.
Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's on the client's side. The client that's done so much for us. Jesus Christ. Everybody around here. Really, Mike, I'm only talking to Rob, not to you.
Thank you for understanding, honey.
If everybody just would stop walking around here without their tail between their goddamn legs and just grow a set of balls. I mean, what are you afraid? Are you afraid of Michelle, the sales lady? God, you know, for being a man who hates women so much,
being the ultimate misogynist,
you let a lot of these saleswomen walk all over you, Jackson.
And that hurts when she walks on you.
Yeah, you say that now. Sure. You say that now. You make jokes about her and not giving birth for 19 months, but you should hear him on the phone because this is her deal.
And really, you know, but also, and I don't believe me. I like Michelle, all well and good. But really, even what we do right now, I think it's on them, not on you guys. I think it's on the salespeople that arrange these things to make it real clear what's going on.
I was just going to mention the exact same thing, which is why Rob should be on the offensive, rather than, and I hear his side where he's like, I'm so sorry. I know that this is really going to put you out. I'm really sorry if the client, you know, why doesn't he just say, hey, listen, B.I.H., why didn't you make sure that you told the guy, hey, incidentally, they say dirty words.
Yeah, you know, but also, you know, with that client, you sit there and the person that's representing the radio station calls as soon as they hear that we're going to do that contest. And then you take it from there. Because you know what? I think if that had been done, the whole other stuff might not have happened.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, the guy flipped out, so screw him and sorry, we'll find another place and... Yeah. The show must go on, and
the show must go on.
And let me know when that first pimple comes in between your legs, Rob.
Michelle.
Let me know.
Pimple. The pimple blossoms.
And if you want some fun later, ask him to smell his cell phone, because it's got to smell like sweat.
It was and breath. And acid breath.
Pressed up against his
sour milk breath.
Big, fat face. Smells like a sick child's diaper.
You didn't hear anything except just like,
I know.
And you know, but I feel for you. It's tough.
Yeah, it's a stressful day.
I feel like for you too, because I know you were ready to go with this thing.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we'll get along. But Colin, come on, really, grow a set, please. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Pep talk over.
Pep talk over.
Doing a great job. Doing a great job. If Bobby Lee does not show tomorrow, you're fired.
Do you know, seriously?
No doubt about it.
That's always going to be the situation with us, though, because I think that if you know what we're all about, then you can just let people know. Because I think that when you do what we do, you need to have liaisons. You need to have people that communicate. We had this problem 5 years ago. We had it a couple of times, more than once, where somebody would say, hey, we're going in, and we would get there. And the guy at the place would have no idea what we do. And that's not their fault.
Because the salespeople go out and they get the money,
mm-hmm.
and the money's green, and they cash the check, and they always say, well, if there's a problem on the night of, well, that's for Don and Mike to deal with.
Yeah, wrong and bad way to handle it. And they used to do it to us all the time. They did it to us when it was really when we were doing that show and we'd have microphones in hand and we'd be 5 seconds away from going on stage. That's, I mean, I got to remember a couple of those.
So one guy would say, hey, you can't have girls take their tops off. And we're like, well, excuse me, girls have been lining up outside for 2 hours to come up on stage and take their tops off.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah.
And this is nothing. This is, and this, like you say, after the contest,
right,
which involved, hello, no nudity, no sexuality,
right,
simply a woman that has one breast larger than the other wearing a bikini top. And on top of that, the incredible sin of the spoken word.
Yeah. Yeah.
The spoken word.
Here we go. Yeah. Even with that, we should have had our person, you know, making sure that they were aware of that. Because that, man, it seems like this happened. This has happened to us. This is at least 4 or 5 times.
You know, hey, come on.
Over the time.
And I say this to the people at WJFK. Jesus Christ, get your collective heads out of your butts. You know, I mean, we are going as hard as we can mm-hmm. to do a good show every day, to come in, and we are on a roll, and we want to get out, and we want to meet our listeners. And all we're asking is for you to come up with a place where you can make some money for the company.
Right. And listen to the show. I hate to say it that way, but very important.
Yeah.
This has happened in the past when the salesperson is not listening to the show and is not on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute basis aware of what's going on. So they can react to it, and if they've got a problem or they anticipate a problem, they can deal with it. And they can deal with it 5 minutes after it comes out of your mouth. That's the way it ought to be. And you know what? In the past, when we had this happen 5 years ago, 6 or 7, whenever we were doing the Las Vegas style shows, it was the same thing. Well, I didn't know you did. I didn't know. I was out having a beer, and I didn't know. Duh.
Yeah, duh, 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 duh.
That seems to me to be...
Dum, dum, duh, 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 dum, dum, duh, duh, duh. Dum, dum, duh, duh, duh.
You know, we gather listeners all the time. That's our job, is to get more and more listeners, people listen to the radio station. But you know something? The people that work in the sales department, you know, that's part of the deal.
Listen,
I don't care if you're on a sales call, if you're doing one. In one ear, you got to have it on. You got to know. And at least have the show, the live show on, the one that's in your backyard, the one you're going to have to deal with.
This is behind the scenes, and it's old Jive Radio School, but I'm telling you, it works. You know one reason our ratings are up is because we're back out and doing appearances
right.
and stuff. As Jive as it sounds, it means a lot to me. 400 or 500 people in one night, and to make one-on-one impressions with people.
I think we do them like Pete Rose does them. Like Pete Rose, who I saw at Caesar's Palace.
Sorry, we
Vegas.
Bet on baseball.
You have, here's what we do, Don. You and I set up a card table in the very back of the joint, yeah. and you have two people wearing shirts with our pictures on them, sitting out in the front and say, come on in and meet Don and Mike. That's what they were doing with Pete Rose at Caesar's Palace.
You know, and this is what gets inside my head, and I can't figure it out. It's good for the show for us to go out and meet the people that listen to the show.
Right.
It's good for the show's ratings. It's good for our morale. Mm-hmm. It's good for the people who listen. And, hello, CBS dumbasses, you make an S-load of money off it. Extra money, and you're always bitching about making budgets.
Right.
So when we come to you and we say, we'd like to do a show somewhere, gratis, we'll show up, we'll fill the joint, the client will be thrilled, they'll get all kinds of advertising. Don't pull the rug out from under us. And one time, stand behind us. Did the salesperson, I'm asking a rhetorical question that I know the answer to,
mm-hmm.
did the salesperson ever say, you know what? If you just let him do it, it'll be fine. If you've got a problem afterwards, let's talk and we'll make it okay. Mm-hmm. But I've known these guys for over 10 years, and I know what they do. Listen, not a problem.
The pro.
But I guarantee those words never came out of the salesperson's mouth.
You don't think?
Those words never came out of the program director's mouth. They certainly never came
Hi,
out.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
They never came out of that gigantic crater. I mean, really.
That
evil,
beak.
Evil Knievel.
No, it's a beak.
Evil Knievel. God bless him. He should try to jump Michael Hughes' ears.
Came out of his bill.
Really.
What does a gosling have? Is it a bill?
Beak.
It's a beak.
Yeah. The space between Hughes' ears is gigantic. He's the de facto general manager of the station, who, thank God, we're in these new studios now we don't have to deal with every day.
Oh, I bet you would have had meetings today if we were over the other place, right? You would have had some office time. You would have had some FaceTime today.
You bet. He's probably not a happy puppy today, but screw him. Hey, you know, you want to call him?
Sure, the Gosling?
Yeah.
I'm planning to anyway.
Why not?
He'll like taking this.
Yeah, you know what? This is the best way to find out if he's listening. If he's listening, this goes to voicemail.
Absolutely. He loves the client.
That's the test. And so what we're saying to salespeople is know the product, service the client, basically.
Well, no, you know the show. Know
yeah,
our
right,
show.
Right. Don't you can be us. On something like that.
Don't screw us, man.
Michael Hughes.
Hey, Michael.
He's not listening.
He's not listening.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Are you listening?
Ma'am, I'm talking with our landlord.
You're talking with a landlord?
Oh, they're back
in the landlord.
Back in the slum. Yeah. Hey, because, you know, he's still back at the WJFK's home base there.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you there today, Michael? Are you at the home base today?
I am indeed, yes.
Yeah. So.
That's right. Tuesday's the day.
Yeah. I miss those Tuesdays together. Well, Tuesdays with Michael. That was a book.
Yeah, Tuesdays with Mitch Albom. Mitch
Albom. Who incidentally has ears like an alien.
He does.
If you ever catch him on the sports
he's got Ferengi ears.
He really does.
Ferengi ears. And they sit a little low on his head.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, Michael, we've got a slight issue.
Okay.
We've got a slight issue that involves the appearance that we were going to do. We were going to do an appearance tomorrow night.
Right.
At the Hard Times Cafe.
Have you been apprised of this situation?
Apparently not.
Okay, great. But then let me be the first to tell you that once again, a guy who sells chili is telling us what to do. Here we go. First off, and this all just came up today after weeks of promotion. Guy doesn't like the contest for disproportionate breasts. Even though a woman would be up on stage in a bikini, nothing sexual, doesn't like it.
Whoa.
You know, okay, Rob caved on that because you know Rob, he's a pussy. Second point. Now, this is a guy who sells chili for a living. No content issues. Guy wants to make sure that the show is okay to listen to. The show that we're going to do at his chili place. Third, nothing demeaning towards women. So I told him he could take his big brown chili, you know, his spoon and shove it.
Oh, that's a good family restaurant. That's to, you know, he's just looking out for his business. That's
okay,
all
well, right.
then here you go. Move on to the next victim.
Let's move on to the next victim. Thank you. Then if it's such a nice family restaurant, why would a sales executive from this station who has worked with this show for over 10 years go in and sell something like this to him? Why would she not be upfront with this guy about what he's getting?
Well, that's something we probably need to talk with them about.
With the salesperson?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Well, why? Well, you certainly wouldn't talk to the client about it. What's the client got to do with it?
Well, I mean, the client doesn't.
I mean, when you're taking the Reno-style show on the road, you know, we should go to places that know what they're getting.
Because, listen, I mean, come on. I'm sure the guy makes great chili. But it's like me going in there and saying, you need more oregano, you need more hot pepper. Mm-hmm. Like Mike and I are going to be in this place.
Yeah,
he's going to say no content issues, nothing demeaning towards women.
But that's why you get back to, you know, the liaison between us and them. We didn't know that either. You know what I mean? And
it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
So now we have to cancel this. And, you know, even a guy like you, a fossil like you has to know that in radio, the oldest thing that still works is going out and actually shaking sweaty hands. That's all we want to do is go out and do an appearance, and we just wanted to say thanks for effing things up. You know, because you're the head man, right?
I didn't know anything about it. I like that, getting this call. That's good. Buck stops here. We are laying none of the responsibility on you, Michael, but all of the blame.
Well, are you or are you not? Do you tell people you're the boss?
I don't really tell people that.
Do you consider yourself to be the boss? You're the general manager.
I would support, yes.
All right, all that.
Except as it relates to Donna Mike issues.
What was the name? Who was the name of the salesperson that was doing this? What?
It was Michelle.
Michelle.
Okay. Michelle Manti.
Uh-huh.
Mother of two.
All right.
Mother of two.
Oh.
Very nice, a very nice lady, a very sweet lady.
She's all right.
But really, come on, Michael. I mean, you know, come on. Guy at a chili place? First, no contest. Second, no content issues. And third, nothing demeaning towards women. I mean, I worked for 35 years to not have to listen to this crap from program directors. I'm not going to hear it from a side order chef. Please, pal. You know, go slice an onion. God damn, Michael. It's frustrating, Jack. It's really frustrating. You know, and I talked to your boy Max, incidentally, the new program director.
Oh, did you?
I spoke with him, and he relayed your very generous offer. As you know, we're doing a contest on YouTube to find a commercial, TV commercial for our show.
Is Michael aware of the generous offer that was made?
Well, I believe he was the brains behind it.
We were bowled away on CSI
or some other show like that.
Well, now what Max said to me when he spoke to me.
I seriously want to hear the corroboration of this one, too.
Max said to me, and we think it's such a great idea that we are going to take the commercial either for Arrow 94.7 or for Opie and Anthony, and for one time, we will actually run that commercial on the real TV in Washington, D.C., not on, like, the suburban stations that Mike and I were going to buy the time on.
Did you say one?
Once, yes. And keep in mind, Mike and I having a commercial done by our listeners, buying the commercial time on cable TV with our own money.
Right.
With our own money. So, is your generous offer that you will give us one commercial that the company was either going to use for O&A, and I saw their commercials on YouTube. Those are really good commercials.
Very, very well done.
What do you got to do to get a commercial around here, incidentally? I mean, besides have the president of the company love you. I'm just curious what you have to do.
And was the offer one? Are you aware, Michael, that the offer was one commercial?
We had talked about, putting that somewhere.
One.
With some marquee value.
But one,
like,
though.
Like a show like CSI or something.
But one.
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 One. One. One.
I might be able to get you two.
One is yeah!
Hey, it's a start.
Yeah.
We'll take two. We'll take
you again next week.
Call you next week. Be glad to. All right. Well, I'm sure you'll get right on this thing for us because we know that you live to make us happy.
Absolutely.
And we know that you live to I'm not really sure what you live for. What do you live for, Michael?
To make you happy, Don.
No. Seriously. What do you live for?
The usual, the family.
Right.
Good life. Do right by people.
I love the enthusiasm. I do.
Where on the scale is our show, really?
No, I don't think it should be our show. I think it should be you and me, personally. Where are we, personally, on the scale of what he lives for?
Well,
like, if you're prioritizing everything, one to say 100.
Mike, we'd be...
Where would we be?
With all the ass that he kisses?
Yeah.
All the corporate ass?
Yeah.
Right away.
I'm guessing, seriously, no better than middle of the pack.
I was going to say 60 or below.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was going to say 50. I was a little more...
60 or below.
Top 20%.
Top 20%.
Buzz is first.
Yeah, Buzz is first.
Of course.
There it is for Buzz again.
Hi.
Look at him grinning over there.
Buzz is first. Of course he is.
That's wonderful.
You better be careful, you. I'm talking to you, Michael.
Yeah.
You just better be careful. I'm being a good boy now, and you know what I'm talking about. So
don't listen to them. I'm clean.
Okay.
Buzz is clean.
That.
Okay, so let's see. What have we found out?
Do we really need to recap?
I think we do.
We've enlightened him as to the first situation, so he now knows about it, which he didn't. We found out that there is an outside chance that he will give us two commercials instead of the aforementioned one.
Oh, and I had another note for you. And again, this is totally inside, but as long as it's Ask the Manager Tuesday, what the heck?
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Remember when you said to me when the National Association of Broadcasters have their big convention that the company was just going to send me emails saying, wow, look for the ads. And well, that came and went. I wondered where those ads were.
Oh, that's a good question. That was a Westwood One project. I thought they placed...
Yeah.
Did you hear that sound? That was the sound of him sliding the responsibility over to another division.
Yeah. There's see now.
Oh, I have... Since it is Ask the Manager Tuesday, there's something on the tip of my tongue. Might I interject?
Yeah.
If there's more.
How are we doing with those affiliates?
Picked up a couple.
Oh, really?
We picked up a couple. This is news?
Starting when?
Well, not in the last, month, but...
Or 2 months? Or 3 months?
I got enough problems here in D.C.
Meaning...
Well, now, see, there was a very... all of a sudden, we're having a nice discussion, and then he opened his soul up a little bit there. I heard frustration.
He's the manager of more than one radio station.
And he's very put upon, and I think we heard that just that. How's everything? Michael, that sounded very exasperated.
That's budget season.
Budget season?
Well, you just...
My favorite time of the year.
You just kissed off that Hard Times Cafe money. I mean, that's gone. That's gone, Jackson. For goodness sake.
Jackson.
And all these commercials you're buying, they're trade, right? Are like the ones you're buying for the classic rock station? Are they trade?
A little combination.
A little combination of both?
You know, I think what would help your budgets is if we got Cincinnati.
So I guess, like when you sent me that email saying, look for big ads during the NAB convention and look for the Blitz, and you sent me that nice little thing, and then like when you send us the email saying, yeah, Westwood One, very, do this thing, do this, and do this. But really, it's all really the same, right? Nothing has happened?
No, there have been ads placed in Inside Radio and Radio Inc. and some of the other places.
All the ones that people don't read. But what he's saying is...
We don't market the show,
Hold on, you can stop it right there.
That's
the first true thing you said. We don't market the show.
That's good. We're aware of that. I feel like we're having a really honest dialogue here.
You know, and as long as we are, I asked you this in an email, and really I'm curious as to what a guy's got to do to get ahead as far as, at least with the company, having the faith in our show. I was reading one of the magazines, my fault for reading a radio magazine, that he told me that I should look at because there would be an ad for our show in there. There was no ad for our show in this magazine. There was a giant article with the president of CBS Radio where he was talking about the things he was excited about with the company.
Recently?
And, this week's issue.
Oh, yeah, good. I'm dying to know. I didn't read it.
And he's very excited about the fact that Kid Chris, is that the guy's name? Yeah, the guy who does afternoons on WYSP.
Oh, the afternoon guy.
Yeah, that they
the guy in our time slot.
That they just put him on the CBS station in Pittsburgh, the FM station in Pittsburgh.
Great.
They just put him on, and that was the president of the company who was
quoted. Our fan.
Yeah, that he was
our number one fan.
He was real excited about that. He was happy. And I thought to myself when I read that, I thought, you know what? Hey, come on now, Tiger, don't get down. You know why? Because I've got those emails where Michael Hughes says, look at Seattle, look at Cincinnati, look at all these markets we're moving into, and we're going to promote the hell out of the show with ads at the NAB. We're going to knock them up. We're going to knock them dead. Westwood One is preparing a big presentation, major presentation.
I feel better already. I don't believe I'm hearing anything on the other line.
You know, Michael... Without dancing the same dance we've danced for so many times, can we please, at some level, communicate to the company, just stop putting the football in front of us so that when we're Charlie Brown and we run up to kick it, you pull it away. Just stop sending the emails with the stuff that's not true. You know, as well intentioned as you may be,
I've been on the show more than anybody else.
But
I try and get everybody's attention I can. I talk to every general manager who will take my call across the country.
Well, there's a problem right there. General managers would take
your
call.
I'm one guy in Washington D.C.
I understand you're one small cog in a gigantic machine.
I think that the point would be that in the future. If something really good happens for the show, just let it happen. I think that's the key, because then everything will be a pleasant surprise.
Just stop telling us things.
Telling us there's a chance of things happening.
Because we're fine. Mike and I are here until late 2008, mid to late 2008. You have our words on that. But until then, it's okay with me.
Roughly 2 years from this date.
Well, a little less.
Yeah, a little less.
A little less. But yeah, about 2 years from today.
Yeah.
So, over these last 2 years, either we'll be very happy with our little empire that we have, or you will continue to, you know, do this crap that is starting to drive me nuts. I mean, hello.
The only thing I passed along that didn't happen was what I relate. But you know, I got to see what they did and didn't run. But they sent proofs of ads that were going to run during the NAB. I wasn't there, so I don't know what ran in any special edition or not.
I would certainly hate to. I would hate to dispute you and pull up the email where you cited specifically Radio and Records, the NAB edition. I would hate to. Or even back to this part about, you know, very close to Cincinnati, you know, looking good in this market, you know. Here's all I know about Cincinnati. They have great chili. That's all I know about Cincinnati.
Comes full circle.
They have great chili. You can understand why every once in a while the frustration boils over.
I completely understand.
And then the guys back at the station, you know, they're not on the team either. You know, you got people so stupid, they're going out selling this show, a live show, and not bothering to tell the guy, hey, the F-bomb's going to be dropped. And then not having the balls to just say to the guy, you know what, Don and Mike have been at it for over 20 years. You're going to have a full place. You're going to make a ton of money. You're going to be very happy. Why don't you just see what happens at the end? Why is it doesn't work out like that for us? If it does, tell me. But at this point, I don't think it can be us because now we don't come in contact with anybody. So how could it possibly be us? If we don't see anybody, how could it be us? We haven't seen anybody for 3 months. We've never been happier. But we've never seen anybody for 3 months. So people can't be bitching now about our behavior.
There is a very, very easy way for people to know what's going on with us, though. They turn a knob at 3 o'clock every day. That's the way they can do it.
There you go.
And that's really all I would ask of certain individuals.
Isn't that an inspiring speech you just heard? Yeah. I feel like I'm listening to the ghost of George Patton or Vince Lombardi. Coming right through the radio.
Well, we still care, Michael.
I appreciate that.
We still care.
You know what? 2 years from now, you're going to have the biggest goddamn crocodile tears in the world. Yeah, I swear to God, please, I will buy you commercials. I will learn to read. That's going to be a happy day.
I think it'll be a very happy day.
A happy day. They'll pull that steak out of CBS Radio's heart. Good luck. Good luck. You know, and Michael, last thing on this topic. Again, for the 1,000th time, if we're talking about promoting this show on even a regional level, what's the problem with mentioning the fact that we're doing pretty great? What's the problem with getting some buzz out there in the industry that last ratings book that we had was pretty goddamn sensational, from number 15 to number 3? How about the fact that ratings book single-handedly saved the station's budget for the entire quarter? Why is that a state secret? Why wouldn't that be something you'd be on the street trumpeting? Why wouldn't you take an ad out to say...
That was the subject of the Inside Radio ad about a month and a half ago.
What ad was that?
The Daily Industry Facts.
Oh, the fax ad. the one that people get on the fax machines.
Email to.
Email.
And email.
Yeah.
2006.
Yeah, I know it's 2006, but you know, there are still some old-fashioned people who think that TV, radio, and I include
not
radio.
Not newspapers anymore.
But, Mike, I read trade magazines.
Trade magazines are not newspapers, though.
You know, for goodness sakes. But you keep advertising the show via fax, and we'll keep kicking ass for you.
I'm trying to think. Fax and emails.
Yeah. Maybe coupons. Well, good talking to you, Michael.
Michael, always a pleasure.
See you at the Christmas party.
Indeed. See you, Donovan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I thought that was wonderful.
What a freaking tool.
I thought that was absolutely wonderful.
I think you made some headway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Welcome to tool
time. You know
what?
Wouldn't matter who the guy was.
Yeah, it's true.
That's the real. That's
we've
the
seen
truth.
Him come, we've seen him go.
No, but it wouldn't matter. Not the way this company is.
His problem
I'll say it. It wouldn't matter.
His problem is he's dumb enough that when they say something to him, like, oh, yeah, we're going to buy commercials. Or
they humor him like they humor us.
And what he does is he immediately gets on his email machine, mm-hmm. and just his fingers are bloody because he so desperately wants to send out any bit of good news.
Right.
You know, whether it's real, true,
right.
made up, maybe. Somebody blowing smoke up his ass, a rumor that he's heard.
Meanwhile, in the King's house in this company, you know, it's like, oh, there's an afternoon show? Another one besides them? Oh, good, good. I don't care if it's good. Start promoting them. What else you got that's not them?
Yeah.
Right. Got anything else that's not them? Promote the hell out of whatever is not them.
I know they did great.
I don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear that. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, me too.
Seriously, the way I feel it must be going down. It can't be any other way. Not with the track record, not with the recent success we've had. It can't be any other way.
This company has changed about 25 radio stations to be the format of this show. We are on exactly two of them. The same two that we were on before the company started flipping every station they owned to free FM.
Right.
I mean, we can't get an overnight clear.
Right.
We can't get a goddamn overnight clear, but some tool in Philadelphia who's been up there living in the land of the one share for a year gets a sweetheart deal and company because I'll get on my knees today. You know, we got 2 years to make clear.
You can suck this.
What I dig about you.
I would do that.
You know, that's dedication.
I would do that, Mr. Hollander.
That is.
I would give you pleasure like no man has ever given you pleasure before.
Well, something's got to give.
Well, I think that you're just,
something's got to give.
You're just going to ride the string out with us.
Yeah, I think so.
They're just going to ride the string out.
That's fine.
You know what we are?
That's fine.
We're old reliable to them.
We are old reliable.
Old reliable.
Never needs an oil change.
And right now they just sit back and they go, hey, you know what? You told those fat F's to shut up. Did we build them their studios? Yes, tell them to shut up.
Oh, that thing, you know, when I really think about it, we played right into their hands. We were sent to, you know, our own little island. We were sent to our own little fantasy island. And now that'll shut them up. Well, that lasted, I think. How long have we been in here?
3 months.
Yeah. 3 months. That's 3 months. Now it's like, okay, we'll do what you said. Because we're doing what we said we'd do.
On the island of Mississippi.
We're doing the work. We're doing the work. We're baby stepping.
You know.
But no, I really do believe that that's the issue.
Exile Island.
Is the guy that's wearing the throne doesn't, wearing the crown, you know?
Nope, doesn't like us. Never has.
And we've never gotten a reason, a real specific reason.
The reason, because it used to be.
I think I know.
Now all the cards are on the table. The guy used to be the president at Westwood One,
mm-hmm.
and used to get a lot of complaint calls when we were first syndicated and the commercials didn't run on time, and when we used to argue with the managers and stuff. I mean, that's the problem right there. The head guy in the company, unlike when Mel was the president of the company, the head guy of the company really doesn't know anything about our show. All he knows is that we're two guys that do a show that gets ratings and big money in certain cities.
Right.
But for whatever reason, he just doesn't think that we're the bee's knees. He just thinks that we are...
Thinks we're kind of loose cannons.
Disposable. You know, disposable.
I got news for you. Being kind of loose cannony can work. Yes. But we're not loose cannony in the sense of we do care about the team.
Sure we do.
Jesus.
Anyway, no appearance tomorrow. But what can I say? What was that?
I think I have the answer.
Yeah.
Kid Don and Kid Mike. I think it's going to improve our team.
And it's got to be with two D's, incidentally.
That's right.
That's the trend.
Kid, K-I-D-D.
I think that's going to help us.
That's what you do.
Kid Toucher.
Okay. Well, been a long time since we've had one of these Meet the Manager sessions.
Wow.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
I think he enjoyed it. I'm sure he enjoyed it. You know what? The color's gone out of you. No, it's coming back in again.
That's the scope.
It's going in, going out. It fades in.
Oh, that was too great. Who else would have a boss that's... And why is it that they're all that stupid? You know, if I was that guy, the first thing I'd do is say, you know, I'm going to be the first general manager not to go on the air with you guys.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. It's a no-win
situation.
Well,
I told you. He wouldn't have if he'd been listening.
Yeah.
Right? He would not. He wouldn't. When he's listening, he doesn't take the call.
Screen those calls.
Andy used to be a DJ.
Aren't we about 50% with him as far as taking our calls?
Roughly.
Yeah. We're about 50%.
Yeah,
he listened about half the time.
If he's not listening.
He was dealing with a landlord or something. He was dealing with his GM issues over at the other place.
He was Mr. Roper.
He was Mr. Roper having the conversation.
Tool. God, Tool. I was passing along things that I was. Here's what happened, Don Mike. The Tooth Fairy came down and said you were going to get a clear in Cincinnati. It was, I just tell you what I was. Through facts. That's how they advertised the show.
The advertising wave of the future, the fax machine.
The fax machine. Because that's what a program director is going to do.
Exactly.
They're going to bring in a stack of faxes and he's going to go,
hey that's a great advertising campaign.
We're out of paper.
We're out of paper.
That's what happened to the ad. We ran out of paper.
They also sent out 18 messages in bottles.
And incidentally, all the ads that run for this show, too, they're not plain paper faxes. They're the old kind.
Oh, like the roll?
The roll.
Yeah.
That shiny, slick paper.
Pubic kind.
Pubic and curly.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. This is someone pressing into their phone.
Slow tapping touchdown.
Hello?
Yeah, is this Joe?
No, this is Don and Mike. Hello, who is this?
This is Mrs. Grant Alexandria. I live near the heart.
Mrs. Grant, may I ask you a question, darling?
Yes.
How long have you been a smoker?
Oh, forever.
Mike, can you name the brand?
I'm going to say it's a menthol cigarette. I'm going to say Salem.
I know that Mike can name it.
Mike just tried. Is it Salem?
No.
Marlboro Lights?
No.
I'm going to go with Virginia Slims.
You're getting close.
Cool.
You're getting close. No. Guess again.
You roll your own.
Parliament?
Pardon me?
Parliament. No, way too light.
Two people are talking to me at the same time.
Winston. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
No.
What is your brand, darling?
Capri 120.
Capri? And are they menthol, baby?
No.
No.
Incredible.
Whoa, look out.
What do I get for that? You didn't guess it.
No, we didn't.
I thought it was Rip Taylor calling it.
I know. I sound like him.
Hold on, let me give you a prize. You want a prize?
Yeah, I want a prize.
You won the original Star Wars trilogy on DVD.
Wow.
Oh, well, thank you.
Bring home the Star Wars trilogy on DVD with special bonus disc.
Are you 3 feet tall?
That includes the original theatrical versions of the movies. Only available until December 31st.
Is this Patio Cripply?
Is this a commercial? You sound like a commercial.
I had to read. Listen, do you want the prize or not, honey? I had to read the commercial so you get the prize.
They reveal in that edition that the CNC-3PO stands for cancer.
Okay, that's Robbie talking.
Yeah. I like the C.
You effing C-word.
For something else, C-3PO. No. So what's up there, heavy smoker?
I want to tell you that I live near the hard times, and you better be glad you got canceled. That place is a...
Oh, now we don't need to do that.
This is where Michael...
Michael Peters
will say to us, this is where we went over the line.
We really don't need to do that. Don't you have some spider wrangling that you need to do this afternoon?
Without talking about the place, if you would like to talk about the person who booked us there, that would be account executive Michelle. She works for the station.
Say anything you wish about
big
her.
Big mistake. The place is covered with grease.
Stop. Stop.
Bye!
Stop it.
I bet that guy's really glad he canceled that at the last minute now. He did a world of free advertising today, isn't he?
Spider Wrangler.
That lady's concerned about health.
She's a health nut.
A lady. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike. This is Bill checking in from Casper, Wyoming, listening to you via Telegraph.
And you got to know that woman's date.
That's right, yes.
Hey, I got you that you're number three here by Western Union Telegraph, followed up by Pony Express, too. From this guy, Michael Hughes or something.
I just let him stay with the crickets for a while.
I really don't
hate
that.
They turned the radio off.
Spider wrangle.
There you go.
And he hung up.
We won.
Hey, Esther.
Did we?
I'm going to call them with the telegraph joke. It will kill.
Backing up with the Pony Express.
Pony Express from Casper, Wyoming or so.
All right, Kat. The city of New Orleans. We'll discuss that in a second. Oh, and I, for one, last night wanted to be like Elvis and shoot out my TV.
Why?
But I'm watching Chris Berman. First off, Chris Berman. Buy a long-sleeve shirt. I know we've discussed this before, but when you have your big monkey arms, when the sleeve of your jacket comes all the way up, halfway up your forearm, listen, if you got a size 23 neck, just buy the shirt that's got big ass sleeves
right.
and have them custom made.
Right. He's got the money to do that.
So he's got his big monkey arms flailing in the air, and he starts the ESPN New Orleans thing by going, "Good morning, America. How are you? Hey, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm a train called the City of New Orleans. The words of Arlo Guthrie." And at that point, I really just wanted to just grab a gun.
Yeah, because Chris Berman didn't realize that the emotion of the moment could have carried it like good broadcasters are supposed to know.
He had to come through with his pop culture.
I give Tony Kornheiser and Joe Theismann and Mike Tirico credit for that first touchdown where they let it just happen. Did you hear that silence where they let that happen? But
yeah.
Chris Berman,
you better believe there's emotion here. Back. There's so much emotion here. There's so much emotion that I can't even wipe.
In defense of Chris Berman, though. Well,
there is no defense.
It's really hard to find a 23.5/49. That's a very hard shirt to find. That's a shirt size.
All right,
we'll start the show with New Orleans.
All right.
Okay? And in many ways, with no offense to those affected by Katrina, the show might as well be the Katrina. We might as well call this the Katrina show.
Yeah, we're Katrina. We're the city of New Orleans screaming out for help from FEMA.
Right.
And unfortunately, our FEMA director, our Michael Brown, is a man named Hughes.
Michael Hughes.
Right.
Michael Hughes, who left us in the Superdome. Great job, Hughesy.
Heck of a job.
Heck of a job, Hughesy. That's a quote. Heck of a job, Hughesy. Michael Hughes has left us here in the Superdome for the last 3 months.
Right. Well, you know, you'd probably be, you'd have a little difficulty making a fist if you were fed by having your mother get food and fly back to the nest and regurgitate it into your mouth.
Oh, that's right, because he is a...
The gosling.
And that is a baby goose.
The baby goose.
Right.
The gosling.
Be right back.
Number 4, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
This is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. When I came into office, I made a promise to the people that I will make government spend more money than we have and raise property taxes. It isn't enough spending unless it is overspending. I want to thank all of you for everything that you have done to bring California bankruptcy. And now it's the time for the legislators to do what is best for California.
Yeah.
Rack up billions of dollars in new debt. Thank you for listening.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. This week, I want to talk to you about sex crimes, and I am a convicted sex offender. I joined with sexual predators, teaching them to lure children into sex crimes. I'm tipping the scale of justice in favor of the violators, not the victims, period. Thank you very much for listening.
He's mentally retarded.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's mentally retarded.
They never shame the beast. Don and Mike.
No, we don't. Let me see. Either absolutely nobody's listening and calling, or I hit the button.
Uh-oh.
I'm guessing that it is the latter. Ah, there we go. Okay.
So open.
Back on. My fault. I hit that button. And why do we have the busy button, as a matter of fact? We never use it.
Well, it's a design if Joe wants to punish the call.
It's in the software where there's a button, and I got to be careful I don't press it because right. It just busies up all the lines.
A lot of time Joe likes to come in on weekends and do a music show, and he doesn't like the requests.
Okay. All right. That's interesting that he does that from this building, huh?
Yeah,
very good.
Turns it up loud so everyone can hear.
Here's some more stones. Here's another block of stones. Okay, so let me see. Reno Style Show will move that. You know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, New Orleans.
Yes.
Okay. Last night watching on ESPN, I thought the stuff with Bono was great. I thought the stuff with Green Day was great.
Yep.
I thought they did a really good job of getting serious and then not getting serious.
Right.
What I did not dig, and I guess it's just the football guy in me, once the game started, once the actual game started, the story was definitely the fact that, Jesus Christ, the New Orleans Saints are killing the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, they were riding their emotion, right?
They're just killing them. And anytime as a football fan you'd watch that and say, wow, that's a pretty good team, things would just come to a screeching halt. I mean, you want to stop a football broadcast, put Spike Lee in there, and back him into a corner mm-hmm. to where he feels so pressured that he doesn't want to say something that Spike Lee says, hey, man, you're not going to make me like Kanye West. Okay, this is happening while the game is on.
Right.
While
haven't they been doing with this new format with the new guys, even in other games, been bringing in more guests than ever?
Yeah.
And having them linger for longer?
Yeah, and a lot of times it's okay.
Right.
Last night, in the case of Spike Lee, I felt he did a really good documentary on HBO about everything.
Fabulous. And a documentary that he got a lot of crap for, and unjustifiably so. I thought it was a very balanced documentary.
Everything that's really wrong with New Orleans, and I appreciate the fact that they were trying to balance that out during the entire broadcast to say, on one hand, things are good enough to play a football game and come down and go to the French Quarter, but on the other hand, you walk 30 feet away and it looks like a battle zone.
Right.
I get that. My point is, as a viewer, once 8:30 came, just shut up with the politicizing and the preaching. And I never thought I'd say this. I felt bad for Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt, as I watched it last night, and they cut away to that annoying three-man shot with him sitting next to Kornheiser and Mike Tirico.
It can't look more awkward.
Yeah, and Theismann just sitting there looking at him. Theismann, who incidentally looks as... hold on. I saw somebody else on TV who has got even more obvious facial work done. Ray Liotta. Last night on Letterman.
Yeah.
And hold on, I want to talk about him too, because there was some weird coinky dinks between myself, I think, and Ray Liotta.
Huh. Really?
Did you hear any of the interview that he gave Letterman last night?
No, I did not. I haven't watched it yet.
No. Okay, anyway, Theismann's had something done. He's had his eyes fixed.
But I would believe that Theismann would agree with you based on hearing him do the color commentary. I think he wanted to get on with just football, just get on with the football game.
You're right. He wanted
really
to get
start
on
analyzing, because he was the only one that was saying good things, you know, or trying to balance it out about Atlanta at all.
You're very right. And
right.
Tony Kornheiser, I thought, got caught up in the moment.
Totally caught up, which of course he's going to. Yeah, well, he's the rookie on that show.
It was great. It was respectful. It was beyond respectful. It was a good moment for America. And I don't mean to sound like a dick. Well, it's what I do for a living, but. Really, once the game started, not that the game is sacrilegious, but, I mean, just let them play the game.
Right.
It's like, I'm in a pretty good mood, and I know that the people in New Orleans have it a lot worse than I do, of course, blah, 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 but I can only concentrate on everything around me.
The game.
I'm having a good time watching the game, and all of a sudden, I got to see the picture of people, of bodies floating down the river,
right.
And then you go right from that to, oh, that was very sad. Big third and two coming up here for the Saints.
And I was only thinking during the game when they were showing so many of the crowd shots that, you know, is that like other NFL cities around the country, especially here in Washington, D.C., where you've got a select group of people that, it's the obviously the A ticket. And, you know, I mean, it just...
I felt
it was a little bit forced.
They lowered the ticket price.
They did lower the ticket price.
I read it now. Anybody here in D.C. or Baltimore, the two NFL cities we're closest to, get ready to choke. You can buy a season ticket for the New Orleans Saints for $320.
Amazing.
A season ticket.
Right. That is amazing. I pulled back off of that, though, because I found myself getting a little bit cynical watching the Superdome. But then I realized, really, as far as that city is concerned, and we've been to that city a bunch of times, that Superdome is a vehicle for New Orleans coming back. And I looked at it that way. But I also said, this is the NFL. It's TV. It's manufactured.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow there is no game. And,
right.
You know, outside
Everybody
of the French Quarter, you know, nothing really is happening.
You know, the one thing that I was thinking about seriously last night with the future of the New Orleans Saints, when all the pregame stuff was going on, I thought, the team that I love, that I'm wearing the clothing for today, including the socks and the sweater and everything else, is the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
They're the smallest team in the NFL, the smallest market team. They're a regional team because everybody in Wisconsin loves them.
Right.
Why can't the New Orleans Saints carpet? Now, I understand they don't have the luxury that the Packers did of winning all those Super Bowls. They don't have tradition.
Yeah, winning makes a big difference.
But they have been in that city for 40 years.
Yeah.
And those poor suckers have supported them for 40 years.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't you say the NFL's plan is to make New Orleans Green Bay South? That you're going to have two cities that really are not big enough to support an NFL team.
Right.
But You got to make it work because they're the fabric of the city.
Right.
They're the fabric of the state.
Well, enlighten me. What is the status of New Orleans right now? What is the status of the football team?
Right now, it's sold out, but they don't have as many corporate sponsors
as
they
want. And it's precarious at best, right? Is it the same guy that
was
with the umbrella?
The guy with the parasol.
Who I mean, like an hour after Katrina last year was talking about how he wanted to move the team?
Yeah. He has got one foot in San Antonio, and he's got the other foot in Los Angeles. What's great, really, and the story that wasn't told last night about the survivors of the hurricane is how they screwed him over, that the last thing that he had to think was that they were going to sell out the Superdome for every game this year. I mean, in the 40 years that team has been in New Orleans,
right,
they have never had a season
right
where they've sold every ticket.
I didn't know that.
For every game.
Yeah. So they've done it now, which makes it a little hard for him to make the argument he's got to get out of Dodge.
Right.
But he desperately wants to go, right?
Well, of course he does.
Yeah.
Because he sees the big bucks in Los Angeles or San Antonio.
I agree with you, though. They ought to make that more of a regional team and do what they can to prop that team up. I hope they do that because, I mean, don't you think really, I mean, you're a bigger football fan than I am as far as one of the really just grand old teams that if they happen to have a great year and a winning season, everybody would kind of be pulling for New Orleans. There's several teams in the NFL like that where you just get behind them. I mean, who was it for? I felt sorry for the Falcons last night. Who didn't want to see, you know, that beginning last night when they blocked that punt? I mean, Mike, it was fantastic because everybody, and it's not because of Katrina. It's because it's Katrina and the fact that the New Orleans Saints are one of these great traditions in American sports. And I hope they stick around for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. It was good to see the game. And the thing that you said that's most true is everybody will forget about it now.
Immediately,
and,
right?
You know, yeah. And this is why the New Orleans Saints, without getting like on a dumb soap box sports radio thing, why they're important. The more that they win, the more focus America will have on New Orleans.
You know, that's true.
You know, so
they're 3-0 now, right?
They are 3-0. You're goddamn
right. That's the best story of all.
Yeah.
I mean, really, and it's sad that we have to rely on a football team to do this, but... You know, I wish them more and more wins. I hope they really do it because that will keep the spotlight on New Orleans.
You mentioned something that I haven't commented to the New Orleans Saints. That would be 3-0.
Hello?
Ah, congratulations.
You hung up on me.
No, I did not. You're on the air. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. I didn't hang up on you. Hello?
Oh, Don.
Yeah.
And Mike.
Hi.
Hey, the Bills suck around here. I mean, size-wise. I mean, Green Bay, I thought was... I mean,
dude, are you calling from Buffalo?
No, I live in Rochester, but it stinks. We have
listen,
over there.
As far as market size goes, the smallest markets in the NFL are Jacksonville, Buffalo, New Orleans, but Green Bay is the smallest without a doubt. I mean, Buffalo's in the bottom five.
What is the biggest feeder city for the Green Bay Packers? What is the largest feeder city?
Milwaukee's
a bit of a haul, right, to get to Green Bay?
About 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
About
right.
90 minutes away.
A lot of people do it.
All right, the Bears are open in Buffalo till 4:30, but, I mean, here in Rochester, open until 2. I guess we have that going for us, that we have more here.
How long a drive is it from Rochester to Buffalo?
An hour and 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's pretty dangerous.
That makes it worse. That makes the bars being open that work.
Come on now.
Hello.
Get motivated.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I don't know if you covered this yet, but some people actually took their hurricane relief money and bought season tickets with them.
I think you talked about that the other day.
I didn't know if you talked about
that. That was in the newspaper. I thought it was rather amazing.
That's a great way to kind of stick it to the owner also.
Right. A guy that was living in a trailer, they had a story in the newspaper, guys living in the trailer. Is the guy that spent the $380.
I love that. I really do love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I couldn't help but also just thinking, to be totally honest with you, and I hate it when people say that because it implies that they're not being honest with you, but I wasn't. If I really did care, I would have gotten off my ass and done something last night. I mean, I've donated money to the Red Cross
to help
Katrina last night, but, you know, as I was sitting there watching on my beautiful big, 45-inch... flat screen, LCD, beautiful,
dry,
high def, fantastic.
Right.
You know, I was feeling bad for the people of New Orleans, but not so bad that I got off my ass and did anything.
Do you think that the New Orleans, when you're talking about restructuring that like they do with Green Bay, the citizens of Green Bay, like the citizens own the team, right?
No.
Doesn't the town own the team? How does what is that deal they have?
It's a weird sweetheart deal that even I don't totally understand. It's very... it's very complicated that, yes, the team is owned by the city council,
okay,
but they do have a board of directors. They have a general manager. They make money. They post their profits for anyone to read.
Okay. That can't happen in New Orleans because you've got an owner. So that will never happen.
You've got that
guy. As long as it's privately owned.
Tom Benson.
Unless he goes to San Antonio and then, you know, the NFL awards the, you know, if the NFL really wanted to step up, though, why not, you know, do an expansion and award New Orleans that team after he gets out of town?
No way. No way would they do that.
Right. Do you know why? Because it wouldn't be profitable for them.
Correct. Correct. But again, if you look at it long term, New Orleans should have a team.
Yeah, I mean, how many great Super Bowls have been played in that city?
They should have a team.
They should.
And you know the NFL would want to whore out New Orleans, even if they took the Super Bowl away.
Mm-hmm.
They'd still come up with some half-assed rationale, well, like, still a great party city. We still want to have the Super Bowl there every other year.
Right.
So let them have their team.
I bet that's why they had there in the first place, is it's such a great venue for their big event.
Well, I used to tell people we went to a lot of Super Bowls. It was Miami and New Orleans.
Best ones.
That was the ones we'd skate down to those. Those were always the best.
Best ones. And, oh, boy. And then, you know, the other thing last night, just a lot of fantasy owners like myself had to be feeling the same way. If you're dumb enough like me to have not believed there was a Madden curse and you had picked Sean Alexander.
Was he on the cover of the Madden game?
Yeah. And I'm waiting for an update on this, right?
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm still seeing pictures of bodies floating and dogs and cats floating. And they're just running just a crawl down on the bottom of the screen. And just when it says Seahawks running back Sean, it was like, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
Maddening.
Da, da, da.
I hate the crawl.
Yeah.
I hate the crawl.
Maddening.
And I think if they're going to run the crawl, they ought to run it through the commercials.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they do that on ESPN News.
They do it on one of them where you can see it all the time. But it drives me nuts because it's not like they stop it when the commercial break comes on and then pick it right back up. It's just continuously going.
Correct. Correct. Amanda. So anyway, Sean Alexander. He's gone. He's out.
It's not hurting you.
He's out for a while. Well, we'll see what happens, Mike. Yeah, he's a big winner this week.
Right.
What about you and Ray Liotta?
Oh, yeah, hold on a second, Rob. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Here's my question. As good as that was last night, and despite overdoing that on ESPN, personally I thought it was as good as it was for the city. Was there really any way that they were going to lose that game? I mean,
are you kidding? Absolutely. I mean, please.
Really?
I thought it was almost a lock based on the pregame that they were going to lose that game.
Hey, look,
really?
Dude, have you not checked out Michael Vick this year? Seriously? Did you not see the Atlanta Falcons in their first two games?
No, no, no. Oh, I think you misunderstood. No, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I know that they're good, but what I mean is maybe it's somewhat conspiracy theory. I don't know, which I don't like to do.
Oh, okay. No, wait. Hold on a second. I like this, though. I love conspiracy theories. Are you saying that the NFL kind of prearranged that for New Orleans to win that game?
Well, let's look at this. Look at the draft, first of all, and I'm sure you've heard those little theories.
No, yeah, okay, because as you know, that the Houston Texans had the first pick. They didn't take Reggie Bush. He fell to New Orleans at number two.
Right, so
Hold on. But this argument has been going on in sports for the longest time. I mean, even like people who say that the NBA draft lottery is rigged.
The fix is in.
That they rigged it for Shaq to go to Orlando, that they rigged it for Patrick Ewing to go to the Knicks.
Right.
No, come on, get out of here.
Okay. Well,
Goodbye. Get out.
You are dismissing his conspiracy theory.
No way, yeah.
I'm sorry. With a conspiracy theory, you have to have a clear benefactor. You have to have somebody that's really going to benefit. And, I mean, really, they were going to get the rating anyway.
And for the city of New Orleans, it's a victory if they won the game or not. It's just the cherry on the cake.
I'm just thinking if Atlanta won big, you know, just, if you were really the insensitive sportscaster. And another crushing defeat in the Chamber of Horrors.
Hey, guys, over the line, guys.
Guys, boy, like this city hasn't had enough pain. That comeback victory by Atlanta.
Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello there. I was just thinking, are Chris Berman and Chris Matthews related?
They do have kind of the same pattern.
From the neck down.
I think they're related.
I bet Kathleen Matthews could crawl on top if Chris Berman was wearing a mask. Chris Berman was wearing a mask, she would not even know. Would not know the difference.
I tell you, Chris Matthews, Kathleen Matthews, Chris Matthews, and Chris Berman be like a slip and slide.
So, let me tell you about Ray Liotta on Letterman.
Yeah, strange similarity.
And if you happen to have a TiVo'd Letterman from last night, check out Ray Liotta. It looks to me like he's had a cheek job.
Well, Joe Pesci, who Ray Liotta obviously in Goodfellas worked with, is known to have more facelifts than anybody in Hollywood. So if that rubbed off on old Ray Liotta.
Well, I mean, he gave him almost like chipmunk cheeks. When he first came out and sat down, it was like, he didn't even look like he did in the ads for the CBS show, whatever that is.
I can't wait to see this.
But
Come on, Karen!
What I found fascinating was they started talking about the fact that Ray Liotta is adopted, and that he recently found his parent. He went to one of those services and found his parent.
Right.
Now, of course, I'm hinging on this because I'm adopted. I don't know who my parents are. At one point, I did have somebody look, but then decided it wasn't worth it, and I let it go. But I'm fascinated by this because Ray Liotta's on Letterman talking about the same thing. So they find his mother, and he calls her up, and he just says, and I totally understand where this guy's coming from. He says, he just tells her that his name is Ray, and he was incredibly honest about the whole thing. He was afraid to tell his mother what he did for a living, and to hear him tell it, she didn't really get interested until he mentioned he was an actor.
Right.
And then when she figured out that he was an actor, that's all she wanted to ask him about.
That's sad.
Who are you? Do you think I know who you are? So then he said he's Ray Liotta. And then she said, oh, I knew that. I knew you were. I knew that you were my son. Uh-huh. And right away the guy could tell that she was doing the BS thing.
Right.
This is where it kind of parallels my situation, although I've not had a situation like that. He goes down to meet his family, his mother.
So he, even after that phone call, he pursued it.
He said he was curious that he's about to have a kid. He wanted to know about his past. I can deal with that. I can relate to that. He says he goes down, and as he's standing there with his mother, his half-brother or full-brother, I'm not sure which it is, drives up with a dead deer strapped to the front of his truck. And because he had been out hunting. Now, this is just like my brother Jim, my adopted brother Jim. And Ray Liotta said, you know, I didn't really know what to think, but I was standing here with this woman, and then I'm looking at a dead deer, and they're like, let's go in and eat. And then 2 seconds later, they said, why don't you let the dog outside? The dog will be smelling the dead deer. And Letterman said to him after all of this, Ray Liotta opened up, he said, So what did you learn from this? And Ray Liotta said, I'm glad I wasn't, he said, this is going to come out the wrong way, but I'm glad I was adopted.
Wow.
And then Letterman said, do you think that are you going to stay in contact with them? And Ray Liotta went,
no.
Yeah. You know, we'll,
obviously not.
We'll see. But the questions that he had were the same questions that I had, and Letterman's response at first almost pissed me off if someone is in that situation. Letterman said the first thing, I understand you're adopted. Yeah. Said you found your mother. Yes. Letterman said, why'd you want to find that out? You know, for someone who's not adopted, you take it for granted. I understand from Ray Liotta's perspective. And he mentioned not only from the medical side, you do want to know why somebody let you go. You want to know, hey, what did I do? What were the circumstances?
Right.
So
right.
I thought it was very interesting and with some parallels, and it moved me so much that I'm going to have cheek surgery now.
Fantastic. You know, I think it's good that you're finally adopting plastic surgery. We're both getting to the age where that's necessary.
When you watch it, he almost looks like a ventriloquist dummy.
Wow.
He's got the big, gigantic
cheeks. He's got a weird face to start with.
I was just going to say, his eyes are creepy.
He's got a very strange face to start with, but he has been at it a very, very long time. I mean, how old is the movie Goodfellas now? I mean, isn't Goodfellas almost 20 years old?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, and he's roughly my age, so I thought it was weird, and who knows? Who knows? And maybe the other thing, maybe I was going to say, maybe I'm related to him, right? The other thing that he found that was very funny was that he's not Italian.
And
see, now this is where...
Well, he doesn't look Italian.
Yeah, but everybody has always thought he's Italian because
of the name and because he was in Goodfellas. But even in Goodfellas, he played the Irish guy, the half-Irish, half-Sicilian guy.
Still, you think of him, though, as the mobbed-up guy.
You think of him as the mafia guy.
Right.
Turned out he's Iranian.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Are you a prostitute?
I would say he would be, like, Russian or something like that.
You can suck this.
Although, we've got all those. Don't you have anything newer?
You going to try to do that with me?
I've got that one.
I'll get all over you.
We have that.
I've got that one.
He's stolen it from us. As we stole it from Dr. Phil.
Leave me the F alone. I hate you.
Now, hold on. Listen, here's some fresh stuff.
Got something to help you with the list.
Now, hold on a second. What the hell is that?
Now, that sounded like my name is Earl. Yes.
Nope. Well, I guess I don't have the new tapes. Somewhere I've got Dr. Phil saying, you want to come and get naked?
No.
And I have him saying, you are a full-fledged slut.
New Phil.
And I have him saying, you're effing him like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Wow.
All right, hold on. Let me just
say. That's when he had his wife on the show. That's when Dr. Yeah. Phil was interviewing Jill McGraw with her new book, The Lindsay. Her new book entitled, I'm Riding the Coattails of Dr. Phil and Oprah.
Got 25. New Dr. Phil.
You full-fledged slut.
Thank you, Phil.
You're effing him like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Wow. I don't even know what that means. Incidentally, does that speak to Dr. Phil's sexual habits?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, here's the McGraw family tradition.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, and I heard the whoosh beep, so I know it's me.
Very good.
Thank you.
Don, I also was adopted, and I kind of took the opposite track. My mom that I grew up with passed away when I was 14, and I guess because of that, I never ever wanted to find out who my adopted parent or my biological parents were.
Oh.
I
think I've hit the lucky button twice because, not only did my original mother, whoever she is, and father, dump me off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They dumped me off with two biggest psychos on the planet.
Right.
Fran and Sam. I mean, really,
yeah.
I might as well have just been dumped in, like, to some devil's orphanage.
You're lucky. Well, from you talking about your past, it was a little bit related, right? I mean, your adoption was kind of related to them in a little bit. I mean, there was so-and-so that was, like, a relative, and
very
you had, right? I mean, isn't it kind of convoluted? And there's a connection, isn't there?
Well, the story is
where they haven't told you
that my mother, my adopted mother,
right?
When my adopted father was in WW2 or something like that,
okay,
he knocked up some chick. So they had the baby, and they gave the baby my adopted father and the woman who is not my adopted mother. The woman, he had a child out of wedlock.
Gotcha.
My mom and dad, and I'm just going to call them that now, my adopted mom and dad,
right.
Sam and Fran,
right.
They took that baby.
Right.
And they gave that baby to Fran's mom.
Okay.
To grandma, to raise as Fran's baby brother.
Gotcha. So that's why your uncle turned out to be your half-brother. There was some kind of connection.
Half-brother.
But they were not forthcoming about any other details about what happened.
No. And Ray Liotta mentioned a lot of things that also had parallels with me. Like he said, you know, I was adopted back in the 50s, and you don't have the tools that you have now to go back and search. I mean, for instance, my birth certificate says on it that Sam is my father. It says that Fran is my mother.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's total BS.
They used to do that.
I'm looking at this thing that I got to use, like, to get a passport or whatever, you know, a birth certificate, and I know it's bogus.
It's all right.
Because I know I didn't come out of her, and I know it's not him that made me, and I know that, you know, they didn't squeeze me out in the hospital.
And they didn't want to talk about it.
No, not a word.
Never. Isn't that like the book on if you have this situation that you're up front with adopted parents, you let your kids know at a certain age,
probably
a very young age, of what's going on?
I remember when I had this out with them 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they said two things to me. First, they said, we told you when you were six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So who remembers when they were six?
Exactly.
Right? And then my father said, never forget this. Why do you care? What does it matter? You know. Okay, thanks, Sam.
That's one of two things. That's either abject stupidity, which it could be, or it's complete, a total cover-up of some kind that they don't want you to know.
My adopted parents are so full of BS
mm-hmm.
that you have no idea what's going in one ear and what's going out the other ear.
Right.
I mean, really, I don't know what they're going to do when one of them croaks, because they're not going to have their partner to sit around and make stuff up with.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're so weird that I've had people say to me, they live down in Florida.
Right.
I know a bunch of people in Florida. I've had people say to me, I ran into your mom and dad. They tell me you're doing great. Hold on a second.
How would they know?
Hold on a second. When I confronted them about being adopted 15 years ago, after trying to ruin my marriage and being awful to Frida and awful to
right.
Big Frida,
they weren't.
They sent me all my stuff back in a box and told me to go screw myself.
Your childhood stuff.
And then, even after that, 8 years ago when I got nailed for having a couple of joints in my car, they got a photocopy of the newspaper transcript and sent it to me and said, change your name. You're no son of ours.
Wow. Thanks, Mom. Wow.
Yeah.
Other than that, supportive? Other than that, fine.
Other than that, they're great.
Good.
And I'll tell you one other thing, as long as I'm on this topic with them, because there's a chance that they're listening or this will get back to them, and good, and it should, because screw them. The one thing that she used to throw up in my face constantly was, you are not a good father to Amy.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a good father to Amy. You are not a good father to Amy.
Right.
Well, you know what's happened is that, unfortunately, since Frida passed away, and I found out a lot of stuff about Amy, and I actually found Amy. I didn't know where she was.
Right.
A very interesting thing has happened. My mother and father have not contacted their beloved Amy now for the last year and a half.
And they were in regular contact up until that point.
Yeah. Until Daddy found out, me being Daddy, found out what was going on.
I kind of think she's better off.
I mean, Jackson, it is a screwed up situation. I mean, I'm sorry to go on about this, but the Ray Liotta thing just made me think about it all over again.
One question last night on Letterman, did Ray Liotta have an Auntie Lola?
my Auntie Lola. She's
oh, that makes me think about Christmas.
It does, doesn't it?
That puts me in a good mood.
She slipped me the tongue.
That's exciting.
Her big, meany tongue.
Yeah, baby.
Hello, Donna Michael. And that's what a spleen looks like to me. Now that I've seen it on TV,
Auntie Lola's tongue?
It looks like a big beef tongue that you would see in a grocery store.
Oh, and a river runs through it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Yes.
Talking about adoption.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The other day, I was talking to my husband because he was adopted, and we found out his adoptive where his biological father was.
Yeah.
And I screwed up, and I said, your dad spoke at the girls' school because he's the convicted convict.
I'm sorry, that's a violation.
Does anybody follow any?
No, girls is...
You're lost.
Girls is a violation.
A girls is equivalent to whatnot.
And guys is.
Yeah,
you guys' right. Show.
I mean,
girls is.
You'll have to email it to us.
You've made a grammatical violation on the show.
But can you sum it up in 15 seconds?
Yes.
Go.
What should I call my husband's biological father?
Well, anything you want.
What does your husband call him?
Nothing.
Well,
what do you mean he calls him nothing? And why would you call him?
Well, he was adopted.
Does he call him by his first name? He must address him.
How does he call? Does he refer to him as dad or Fred or jerk off or what?
Nothing.
Honey,
what does he call you? What does he call you?
Honey, baby.
Stupid.
C word. Now, there must be a time when you have seen your husband with this man. What has your husband said to this man? Has your husband said, hey, Dad? Hey.
He has never met him.
Now
and you
totally
have?
Confused.
Then how do you know him?
Because he spoke at the girls' high school.
Girls' second time.
Gotta go. I'm sorry. Two-time loser, and you are.
No need to put the Z on the end of that word.
Girls.
You can simply say girls.
Girls.
Probably call him uncle.
All right, enough of that. Okay, so that's what's happening with Ray Liotta.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening
that's
with
it. I end up into a nice bow. That's the Ray Liotta story.
And when we come back, I know, it's time for a little SC. A little SC action on the show.
Wonderful.
And that doesn't mean the University of Southern California.
No.
And it doesn't mean Southern Comfort.
Oh.
Oh, it means time for Smart Charles.
It's amazing, his transformation. Nice. Love that guy.
Smart Charles.
You know, it's getting a little uncomfortable, though, because he really kind of, now he looks down on all of us.
He's a dick now.
He's smarter than we are.
He's really very, very strange.
Don't tell him I called him a dick.
I don't think he'd mind. Smart Charlie wouldn't mind. Dumb Charlie would burst into tears.
Smart Charlie
would understand your act.
Okay.
He would be sophisticated enough to understand your
All right. Well, then the idiot savant is next on the show.
Very excited.
See what he thinks. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mon and Mike show.
You're not giving your f***ing kidney. What if one of your kids needs a kidney one day? You're going to give your kidney to Richard Lewis? No.
You'll give it to him.
I might not be the max, Larry. He needs his kidney, number one. Number two, he's a fat f***. He can't even survive the surgery.
Oh, you know he can't survive the surgery.
You're healthy and thin. You're giving the kidney. End of discussion.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, you fat ass.
Feel sorry for the Vonka. They will cost him a fortune, but the Don and Mike Show.
And listen, we got a major fight with,
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Right.
La, 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 la.
Okay, goodbye now.
Goodbye and goodbye.
Big discussion with the de facto general manager, Michael Hughes.
About how good things are going.
Problem with the client, the Reno-style show for tomorrow night has been canceled because they're pussies at the Hard Times Cafe. We will reschedule it as soon as possible.
Our apologies.
Let me see. We've still got to talk about the Fantasy Football Week number 3.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow on the show, a double dose of rhyming names, Al B. D. and Bobby Lee.
Hey, Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee from Mad TV?
Right.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Our favorite Chinaman, Bobby Lee, will be on tomorrow.
He's Korean.
And same difference.
Right.
And our favorite Chewy, Albie VD, will be here.
Uh-huh.
For those of you who don't know around the country, Albie VD, Chewy is a good friend of ours who has been doing radio in D.C. for over 20 years and just got...
Good guy.
He's got canned by the top 40 station, and I'm not necessarily sure if he's ready to... tip over the can of worms on everything going on down the street, but we're going to give him the opportunity and at least give everybody a chance to say hi to Albie D.
Very good.
So all that is on tomorrow's show. Let me see. Okay, Charles interview. Now, one of the things that Charlie has requested is, you remember this?
Yeah, that was the, what he calls, that was the old
theme.
Charlie theme. He wanted a new theme.
He wants a new theme. So now,
I can't imagine.
Without further ado... Here's Charlie.
No. I didn't want a new theme. I wanted light classical. That's what you're playing for me, and I... Chamber music is what I enjoy. So let's clear that up right now, Don Geronimo.
But you don't like the...
Don Geronimo!
You don't like the Everybody Loves Charlie song anymore?
No, I don't. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for who I am now. You have to understand, I'd like to have a better presentation. That's what I want.
But you know
why can't I have what I want? Does that trouble you?
Your role on the show.
Yes.
Is to play the stooge.
I understand.
Especially now.
And I play the stooge when I do the interviews. I always do that. But what I want to do is just something a little more respectful.
What happened was
my name is Charles.
About
Charles Stewang Stabilak, right. And I have a mind. Thank you very much.
About a month ago, Charlie got hit on the head with a bottle, and much like that,
it hurt. It did hurt,
sure.
But it changed me in a good way.
It, Flowers for Algernon. That's the name of the
wonderful
book.
Wonderful film, wonderful book. Yeah. Delightful.
That is what your character originally on the show was based on.
Yes, I understand, but I enjoy the Jane Austen novels even more. I really wish, is there any chance, this is just a request from Charles to you, is there any way that you could maybe discuss literature a little more on your show? You never you have such a mind. You're so brilliant, but you never talk about books.
I tell you what, we'll discuss literature, and I never thought I would ask Charlie this, but I will, being as you've now morphed into Smart Charles.
Uh-huh. Hello. Name is Charles. Charles Stewang Stabilak.
I mean, you do
funny things all the time, but I know you want silly Charlie to come by.
I want some serious advice.
Mm-hmm.
I want manager advice.
Huh? All right. I'm here. I can help you with that.
You've met our manager.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, he's a handful.
Now.
The man is incapable. His indecisiveness will be the downfall of all of you.
Charles.
It truly will be, Rob. I mean, you can laugh all you want, but it will be.
Charles.
He's so retarded.
I never thought I would ask you this.
Yes.
How would you handle a problem like Michael Hughes?
Oh, how do you handle a problem like Mr. Hughes? Mm-hmm. No, yeah, the musical. It's a Sound of Music, I think. Maria is the song. I would handle Michael Hughes by being as direct as you possibly can be, and at all times, whenever you're dealing with him, go over his head, Donald. Go over his head. Don't deal with him. You go. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, Charlie.
I seem to have a bit of a chest cold now.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Mike wasn't even out late last night. But, no, go over his head.
Mike,
that's what I would be
good. Oh, Mike is in the bathroom now, isn't
talk
he?
Talk about a stooge. Your stooge. Your number one stooge.
Oh,
he's in the bathroom vomiting, as he always does. But, no, go around him. Don't deal with him. Much too tedious.
Okay.
Much too tedious.
Thank you for the advice. And the other thing that I wanted to ask was two things that are financially related, Charles. First,
ask away. You know I'm a certified financial planner.
I know the stock market.
I am.
Stock market today almost hit an all-time high.
Now, don't get swept away by that, my boy.
And at the same time, the housing market.
Do not get swept away by the stock market.
The housing
it will go
market,
back down. What goes up must come down.
Okay, what about the housing market?
Good housing
time,
market.
Good time to get it out. It's a buyer's market?
Of course, if you're going to buy. But, of course, those of us who have to buy inevitably have something to sell. So that is why you don't want to plunge right into the buyer's market when you have to sell the property you're in. Now, renters, scamper to the first opportunity because you're going to have wonderful chances to buy homes that previously were unaffordable. So what I advise everyone to do is get into the market if they are not currently owning a property.
Mm.
You have to sell. You're going to not reap the rewards that would be that would make up for the loss that you would receive at selling your own home. It's a very, very simple thing.
Charles, is that Hugo Boss you're wearing today?
Thank you for noticing.
That's
yes,
nice.
It is. And do you like the shoes? Prada. I'm wearing my Prada shoes.
Do you remember the old days when you would come in wearing big overalls, no shirt on?
Well, I
draw a hat.
I really don't. I mean, it's vague to me.
Rob, show him a picture of himself.
I have one.
Show him a picture. Show him a picture.
Look at that.
Oh, Rob, put it away. Put it away. I don't wish to look at that. That was me? Who shaved my head? Did you do that? Oh, God. That is despicable. Put it away. I don't wish to look at it. I really don't. I now regret my earlier investments in the vintage candy. You know, I have candy at home that really doesn't seem to be doing very well for me. But, no, I would jump into the housing market. Please do so. But do not do so if you currently own. My advice from Charlie. It's free right here. Oh, my.
We're ready for your bit now, Charlie.
Oh, my.
Charlie?
What's wrong?
Hey, you can, buddy. Don't forget, you can always be sick, Charlie.
Yes.
As long as you're still...
Of course.
Can you still do the happy, Charlie?
Of course I can.
Right. Hey, Mr. Stuag Stavlak.
Yes?
Do not take a tone with me because your IQ is now higher than mine.
Right. Did I take a tone with you?
I believe you did,
you're
sir.
Very sensitive. Let me pull back on that.
Thank you, sir.
I am so very sorry as to have offended your sensibilities.
Well, now, please do not patronize me, sir.
Well, I you were very upset with that, and I'm not patronizing you. I'm just saying, one does not want to offend, does one? I'm sorry, Don. I'm playing with you.
Here's your
play.
Okay, Charles, here's your son.
Yes.
Okay, for the Charlie Show today.
One last thing before we proceed.
Yes.
I need to borrow a $10 copay. I'm a little light at the moment. Don't have the money.
Yeah.
I bumped my head coming out of my car, and then suddenly all my cash was gone. Someone said I was raving and ranting outside. I don't know what happened, but you know how I slipped back in?
I would be glad to help you out, Charles.
Thank you so much. You're a trooper, Don Geronimo.
And you're my man, Charles.
Here's your guy. Still working with this idiot, I see.
Hey.
Oh, Rob,
I know it's been a stressful day for you, my boy.
Yeah. This is from Goshen, Connecticut.
Goshen.
Excuse me, Goshen. Thank
Goshen.
You, Charles.
Get your geography right, please. My word.
Being an outcast is not a bad thing.
Why are you reading it to me?
At least I'm reading it for the people listening.
But I have it in front of me. I'm capable.
All right, Charles, what's the setup? Go ahead.
All right. Here's the setup. Being an outcast isn't necessarily a bad thing. At least when you're the world's only living unicow. How foolish. That's the word from Tim Comerford, a petting zoo owner, who owns a rare unicow, which is basically a steer and a cow combined. It's got a horn in the middle of its head. It's very silly. Very, very silly. So that's it. That's the setup. And now we're going to call him, and Charlie's going to be very, very excited about meeting a unicorn.
The unicorn is named Hercules.
Right.
All right, you ready, Charlie?
Hercules.
Are you in character?
If you must.
Do you need the door sound effect?
Yes, please. I need the clonking of the that metallic sound you play so frequently.
Gotta hit him.
Oh, you need some of this?
No, I'm looking for more of a... there it is. Hit it again. One more, please. Closer to the middle of the forehead. Wow!
show.
I feel too good.
Charlie, you're on the phone.
Hi, Don.
With a guy named Tim from Connecticut. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Tim. You have a unicorn.
You got it.
Tell me all about your unicorn. That's a magical creature.
Well, it's a Holstein steer.
Hey, Tim. How come you're not excited about it?
Oh, I am.
You don't sound like you are.
Hey, Tim, would you...
Isn't it exciting to have a unicorn?
Would you please say hello to Charlie? Charlie...
My name's Charlie Sturang-Stablack. Say hi, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Hi, Tim. Tell me about the unicorn. Oh.
Oh, yeah, feel good, Charlie?
No, I don't know why. Maybe I'll never be able to feel good, dog.
Did you have a lot of pizza last night?
No. Didn't have any.
Did you have a lot of ice cream last night?
Don't understand it. Really don't understand it.
I'm talking to Charlie now, not to Mike.
Oh, I had a little bit of ice cream. Chocolate swirl.
Charlie. I'm talking to who am I talking to, Charlie or Charles? Or am I talking to Mike?
You're talking to Charlie with a Y.
No.
I ate a lot and I threw up. Ooh. Little acid reflux.
Sure. You know, Tim, my friend Charlie here loves unicorns.
I love unicorns because they're magical and they can do special things. Does your unicorn fly?
No, I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
Well, he's 2,800 pounds.
Well, if he had big, fat wings, he could fly, right?
How much is 2,800 pounds, Charlie?
Big! Really, really big! Really super gigantic! Ginormous! I love that word. 14 tons.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper ended.
Hello, Tim?
Yes.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing.
Okay, tell us about your flying cow.
You know, Tim, can you hold on a second, please? It seems to me...
Yes.
...that, Charles...
Yes, Don?
...you are not committing to the role.
It's so frustrating to talk to a dullard like this. I'm talking with the village idiot about some farm animal that he has, and you're expecting me to be excited about it, and I'm getting a little tedious. It's tedious. It's tedious. Don't you understand that? Okay, he's got a unicow. Ha, ha.
Can you not play the fool the way you used to?
I will try. I will try again. Hit me with the frying pan. Okay. Give it to me.
All right, here we go.
Hold on.
Ow.
Whoa.
Tim.
Duh.
Tim.
Hey, Tim, we're back. So tell me, is it exciting having that big old unicow? Tim!
Yes?
What do you feed it?
Oh, eat hay, oats, things like that.
Do you feed him any sugar, like candy?
Yeah, he don't care.
Do you feed him any chocolate bars or anything like that? Do you feed him any ice cream? Do you feed him people food? You ought to feed him people food. You really ought to feed him people food.
You think?
Yeah, I think. For God's sake.
Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Charles. I'm sorry, yeah.
Tim, hold on again,
I think
please.
That would be
hold
a good
please,
idea.
Charles.
I can't stand it.
Charles, I know you don't like...
I can't stand talking
Charles.
To people that don't
Charles.
Talk back.
Charles, I know you don't like stage direction. May I suggest an option?
Oh, taxing my patience.
An option to get out of this.
All right.
If you perhaps ask him, as you would when you were Charlie,
mm-hmm.
about either pizza, ice cream, or talk about how...
Like what his favorite food is.
Or talk about how big the unicorn's poops are.
How big the poops are.
How big the bowel movements are.
I can't do it. I can't bring myself down to that level to talk about excrement coming out of a cow from a man that can't even speak. But I'll do it if you insist.
Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at me. Look at me.
He's a local boy.
Put him back on the phone.
He hung up.
Oh, no.
Of course he did. He's a complete imbecile.
You call him back, Rob?
Call him back.
Call him back.
I wish to speak to him as my alter ego.
Oh, no.
I truly do.
Charlie,
I'll talk to him off the air if you wish. I have a bone to pick with him.
Mm-hmm.
I truly do. What a moron. And I'm sure as I'm sitting here that he's exploiting the animal. I guarantee you that. He ought to be reported to people for the ethical treatment of animals. Ha ha, a unicow. Dullard.
Are you going to watch Jeopardy tonight?
Every night. You know, I never miss it. I love that show. I truly do. Almost as much as Masterpiece Theater. Is he on the line yet, Rob?
No, he's not picking up, Charlie.
Still dialing him up.
Of course he's not. He probably can't hear the ring. imbecile, total idiot. Must I? Why can't I interview some famous scientist now? Why do I always have to do the cake and ice cream interviews? I really wish to.
Is that your
Why
role?
Why can't I just come in and panel?
People love him, though.
Why can't I come in and panel
all
on
right,
the issues of the day?
Charles?
Yes.
What about the New Orleans Saints beating the Atlanta Falcons last night?
Well, I think it takes away from the primary issue, which is the plight of that city, which we are all concerned about. I think it's a very dangerous situation. Still down there,
Charles.
All the football in the world isn't going to take that away.
What about the fact that you can now take some liquids on planes?
I think that really we are still not as safe as we were, but the liquids were an overreaction to really what was not a legitimate threat anyhow.
Did you watch Deal or No Deal?
What?
Do you watch Deal or No Deal?
Oh, of course not. Where they open the suitcases?
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think I am, a retard? Please.
It used to be. Rob, what happened with the guy?
He's not picking up. I think he grew tired of it.
No, he grew tired of it.
Hey, well, thanks. You drove him away,
well,
Charles.
I'm sorry. Here. I'm sorry. You will respect my intelligence.
And what you should both know is that I have not really been well. You should know that, really, this could very well be the last time I visit all of you.
I think as you spoke
I'm sure
about...
that'll make you very happy. I'm sure that what you'd like to do, Don Geronimo, is speak at my funeral. I'm sure you'd like to do that. Well, you'll have your opportunity because I've seen the doctors.
Yes.
And they informed me.
What's wrong, Charles?
Well, it's the same thing that Babe Ruth had.
Oh, Charlie's disease.
Yes, too many hot dogs. Too many hot dogs in my other life. What a sad life. I finally blossomed intellectually.
Yes.
And I'm unable to speak.
Ironic.
Same thing that killed Babe Ruth.
What a shame. What a shame it is. Yes, boy.
Rhetorical question.
Go, fire away. I know you're good at those.
Would you sacrifice IQ points for health?
No. I wish to die intellectual.
Good for you.
I truly do.
So you would be like Stephen Hawking.
A tough concept for you to understand.
Would you live like Stephen Hawking?
I would. As long as you give me a keyboard, I will type with my toes.
Cool.
But I'll be fine.
Do you remember the good old
Get
days?
Get for Charlie.
Remember the good old days when you used to go outside just to make us laugh? You would, like, pick up a refrigerator with one hand.
Do you remember the good old days when I would linger longer? But the fact is, now I have to get to the Kennedy Center. National Symphony Orchestra playing one of my favorite Tchaikovsky pieces tonight.
Goes.
Looking forward to skating on down there.
The artist
so
formerly
nice
known as
visit
Charlie.
With you. So yeah. Good to see all of you.
Oh,
please,
yeah.
I must bid you all adieu.
Hang in there,
adieu,
Charles.
Adieu, adieu.
Goodbye, former retard.
Another funny show. Ha, ha.
All right, bye,
oh,
Charlie.
Oh, dear me. Fare thee well.
Wow.
Well, I don't know what happened to Charlie.
I don't know what happened to him
so
either.
Many things. I have no idea.
Man.
Smart Charlie.
I think Smart Charlie might have spent too much time in Las Vegas.
He's not well.
I truly do.
And how smart is that?
I'm not really sure. It's the cold and flu season.
Yeah.
So that guy on the phone was just a no-go, huh?
Yeah, he didn't even pick back up.
Well, you know, perhaps he was offended by the fact that Smart Charlie didn't really commit to his stupid self.
George Herman Stuang's family.
There we go. What a shame. Yes. A hot dog every inning. Plenty of preservatives.
Thank you, Charles, and thank you, Unicorn Guy.
Yeah, Unical.
Unical. Tim Comerford.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Are you angry at the rumors?
No.
I know you denied it.
Well, of course I
denied
it.
Why did you even have to do that?
I didn't just deny it.
Yeah.
It's not true. I didn't just deny it.
Right.
It's not
Why
true.
Why did you even bring it up?
Because we were doing an interview with my magazine, and that was the first question that came up. And
The first question.
And, you know,
if
I had known that it was going to become this firestorm of, you know, rumors, I never would have said anything. So I heard your question to Stedman Graham last Friday. Should we have ever brought it up? I think the answer is no.
That's what
because
he said.
What he said, we're going to focus on expand. So if we've never said anything about it, I think it would have been better.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Which reminds me, while we were on vacation, the late, great Barry White had a birthday. I know we've not done our annual tribute to Barry White's birthday.
It's been a long time.
Might be a good idea. I know we got all those records back there. God knows we got all the sound effects. Oh, about this announcement.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
God knows. We got the parts. We got the music.
Face down, ass up.
Yeah.
That's the way we listen to the Don and Mike Show.
You know, maybe we'll do the tribute to Barry White at our next break.
Yeah.
How long has it been? Didn't we play the tape of him not too long ago doing the read for the commercial?
Yes, Paul Quinn College.
Did we do that?
Invites you to a lovely weekend.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It has been a while for that, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me just write that down. The Barry White tribute.
Barry White.
I'd like to do that today. On our website. Hold on.
Tony?
Barry.
Trying to cut a spot, Tony.
White.
The lovely weekend.
Birthday tribute. Complete with music.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, on our website today, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Right.
One picture for you to look at. Lovely lady. I hate doing this.
I know.
Because I think Diane Keaton is really hot for a woman who is well over 50.
60,
yeah, and has had nothing done.
She's in her 60s, right?
Yeah. So here's a very unattractive picture of her picking her nose while she's on a cell phone. It's a really... digging for gold, man.
It was bad or leave it hanging there, you know? And that looks like maybe it was, she's wearing that same outfit she wore right around the time of that Jack Nicholson movie.
Oh,
looks like, you know, she was wearing stuff like that.
Were there the old people that fall in love together?
Yeah, oh, man.
Old people. They're just a little older than we are.
Yeah.
Hello.
No, they're a lot older than we are.
Don and Mike.
Seriously, they are.
Like, what, 12 years?
Nicholson?
Her.
Oh, her?
12 years older than us.
I think she's 62.
14 years.
Right.
Still, not as much room as between you and Carla. Right?
No, you're right.
I mean, it's all relative.
So that kind of tells me what direction we're moving in.
Hello, Don and Mike.
There's a reality for you.
60.
Hello. Like a lot of letter writing.
Hello, you're on the air.
Speak to us.
Yes, this is the Don and Mike show.
Okay.
Thank you, Doug.
It was Doug. It was Doug calling in, and I'm having trouble like ignoring this picture that you put in front of me.
Pretty
There's
good.
Just something about that talent of Diane Keaton's plunging up there into the nose. She's up to the first knuckle.
Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yes.
Click on today's steaming log, and you'll see it right there.
Oops.
You know what? I just did all that on the phone. My apologies.
Yeah, she's got a little of the veins happening.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I wanted to talk about. Gotcha. You're going to love this. We got a press release from ABC about 2020, Friday night. We turned down an interview with, frankly, the only guy that I want to talk to on 2020 is John Stossel.
Yeah.
Mr. Know-It-All.
Hi, this is John Stossel.
He's unavailable for interviews.
He used to be on our show every week, didn't he?
That was Charlie Stossel.
I loved him as in the Charlie... I got a total mental block on it right now.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I'm just...
You're a goddamn genius.
I loved him in the Charlie Chaplin story. He does look like Charlie Chaplin, John Stossel.
He does.
He truly really does. And play the crickets for me. Thank you very much. That may have passed if I had gotten it out quicker.
So, 2020's doing a show on Friday night.
Right.
I think this is fascinating. Bear with me for a second. They found that when you send your resume, either online or in person, to get a job, when the resume gets to the person who looks at the paperwork,
yes.
Shocker, people with black-sounding names are less likely to get called back.
Get out.
Now, the TV show 2020 put 22 pairs of names to this test.
All right.
They posted... identical resumes, except for the names at the top.
Ah.
And they wanted us to talk to some...
Was this going to be a reporter that we were going to talk to?
Just first name, yes. Mm-hmm. No, it was a producer.
Okay.
Wanted just to tease us with this. Well, what we ended up doing was just, without talking to 2020, got on the web today, and we found from a book called Freakonomics, which ABC used... as part of their research for this project, it's a book by a guy named Steve Levitt, and it has the top 20 whitest and blackest sounding girl and boy names in America.
Last names?
First names. First names. And this is what 2020 based this entire project on.
When they were basing the project, was it both names or was it just first names?
First name only.
First names only. Right.
First names only.
Wow.
Here are your, and I guess when the
you're
show...
You're going to give us, like, the whitest and blackest names.
Yes. And when you watch the show, you will see this unfold. I'm not sure which of the names that they chose.
And are they saying this was done methodically or
yes.
was done subconsciously?
No, this was done routinely.
Okay.
No matter which, and I don't want to say which .com
right.
find a job place it was and which job agency it was.
Okay.
But universally.
Exact same qualifications.
Right.
All right.
Here are your 20 whitest girl names. All of these got the... I think it was like 96% of these names got a call back.
Oh, God.
Molly, Amy, Claire,
uh-huh.
Emily, Katie, Madeline, Caitlin, Emma, Abigail, Carly, Jenna, Heather,
yep.
Catherine,
mm-hmm.
Caitlin, Caitlin with a K. A
lot of those.
Holly, Allison, Caitlin again, but spelled differently, a third spelling of Caitlin.
Wow, three Caitlins.
Hannah and Catherine. Here now are your black...
Catherine with a K, right? There's one with a C and one with a K.
Right. Here are your 20 blackest girl names. Imani. Ebony. Shanice. Alaya. Precious. Nia.
Right.
Deja. Or Deja. Diamond. Asia.
Diamond. That's interesting.
Alaya. Which is not to be confused with Alaya.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jada. Tierra.
Mm-hmm.
Tiara.
Two different names?
Tierra and Tiara?
Two different names with pronunciations here.
Okay.
Now get ready for the mother of all of them. Four separate spellings of Jasmine.
Really?
Wow. J-A-Z-M-I-N-E, J-A-S-M-I-N, J-A-Z-M-I-N, J-A-S-M-I-N-E, Alexis, and Raven.
Raven.
That's Raven.
That surprises me. The list surprises me.
Here we go. Here's your 20 whitest boy name.
All right.
Jake. Jake.
Connor.
Uh-huh.
Tanner.
Wyatt.
Cody.
Dustin. Luke.
Hi.
Jack.
Macho names.
Scott.
Uh-huh.
Logan. Cole. Lucas. Bradley. Jacob.
Jacob.
Garrett.
Right.
Dylan. Maxwell. Hunter. Brett.
Hunter.
And Colin.
Where's Rock? Is Rock on there at all?
No, Rock is not.
That all sounds right. like the Nats family reunion.
Now, the 20 the 20 blackest boy names.
Hunter, would you tell Cole to bring over the corn on the cob, please?
Here are your 20 blackest
boy names. All right, very good. Lay them on me.
Deshaun.
That's a good one. That's strong.
Common, you hear that?
DeAndre.
DeAndre?
DeAndre.
I don't hear that very often.
Marcus? M-A-R-Q-U-I-S.
Marcus.
Marcus.
It's not Marquis?
Well, maybe it's Marquis.
I thought it was Marquis like the car.
Right.
Yeah, well,
yeah. We don't know. We just don't know.
We don't know.
Well, we're white.
Who
would know? Mike? Hunter would know.
Hunter would know?
How about this one?
Okay.
Darnell. Hi. This is Darnell Valentine.
Hi. This is Darnell Valentine.
Okay, then you have Terrell.
Terrell, yes. You know, it's easier for us with the guy names because of the NFL. Right?
Malik?
No.
Trevon?
Trevon?
T-R-E-V-O-N?
Trevon.
Oh, hey, come on. Tyrone? Okay, Tyrone.
Right.
Willie?
You think it's Trevon or Trevon?
I think probably Trevon.
Trevon.
Then you have Willie, Dominique, Demetrius.
Hey, I got a buddy named Demetrius.
Reginald.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal.
Right.
Maurice. Jalen. Darius.
Right.
Xavier. Terrence. Andre. And Daryl. So those are your... So
wow.
So what you're going to see on 2020 Friday night is...
I was so glad Darnell was on the list.
When the girl named, I guess, Abigail, she was the white name, right. When that one comes up...
When one of the eight Caitlins...
It's like 93% to get a call back, but if it's... Raven,
It doesn't happen.
There's like a 1% chance you get a call.
And this, and they're going to identify this as something that is a real process.
Yes, they
are. That's coming from somebody that they say, if you see this kind of a name.
2020 put 22 pairs of names to the test, posing identical resumes, except for the names at the top.
Wow.
The resumes with the white-sounding names were actually downloaded 37% more often by job recruiters than resumes with black sounding.
What if they had a name that was confusing, like Darnell Nance?
Like, they only went on first names.
Yeah.
They only went on first names. I don't know.
But still, it's fun to think about. How about Jade Couric? I'm just trying to put the names
but
together that, you know.
As all those names came out, the dumbest ones were the white men.
Yes.
They all sound like they could be
They sound seriously like they ought to be in a movie.
Yeah, or like the
Hunter.
Or like the next quarterback at USC.
Right.
You know, something that like...
Hunter Nance drops back to play.
Yeah, some quarterback would name his kid that.
But don't call Jasmine O'Mara.
Hello.
Okay, now entering the game is Cole Sims.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Or, for instance, Wyatt Imus or Cody Gifford, two of the boy names.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, Wyatt and Cody. Wasn't there a period of time when Wild West names were in vogue?
Yeah,
like maybe 15 years ago.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's Wayne. What's going on? I am a black man.
obviously.
Yeah, but if you said your name is Wayne, that's not on the list.
Unless it's Dewey.
I know. No, I'm just playing Wayne. Huh. But that name is Trayvon.
Trayvon
and Marquise. That's how we...
Marquise. We didn't
right,
know.
Thank you, Mike.
Trayvon and Marquise.
That's
all right.
Thank you.
We're named Mike.
We'll discuss that with some of our friends like Luke and Jack and Bradley and Garrett a little later.
Garrett.
Hello, Thomas.
All the guys that were shot at the OK Corral.
All my black friends are coming over tonight. You know, Dominique, Tyrone, Jalen.
Hey, they left Holmes and Dog off that list.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Hi there.
Thank
you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, and Mike. Howdy.
Mike, howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I'm on your list.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Daryl.
Daryl Asmunch. How you doing?
And I'm black.
Is Daryl on the list of black names?
Daryl is a black name, according to this book, and that's how 2020 has categorized the name as well.
Very popular.
Daryl's also a white guy name, too.
Yeah,
female name.
Like Waltrip.
The female also goes by the name of Daryl.
Daryl Nichols, our former engineer, he's only famous because he had a conversation with Jenna Jameson on our show one time.
Daryl is a black woman's name. Daryl can be a black woman's
or
name.
Or a white woman's name.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl
Hannah.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes,
what?
Sure. Hold on.
Can you do me a favor?
What?
I can't because you're the finger guy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, the finger guy. I guarantee you're the finger guy.
Just one favor.
Yeah.
It has to do with Super Dave.
I want to hear it.
When Super Dave come on your show, can you have him sing A Horse With No Name?
You're not the finger guy?
If he's
no.
not. Even if he is not, I think that's a great idea.
I
think we should do that and have Dave sing A Horse With
No
Name.
Through the desert.
I think he
can
do a good job.
Name.
But it'll be one note, because there won't be notes in it. It'll just be,
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
I think he can do a good job.
I agree.
All right, well then, if you're not the finger guy, thank you for that, and I apologize. You sound like the finger guy who always works up towards one more thing, and then it's, hey, Mike, I'd like to put my finger.
Right.
But if he is, if he's referencing the band America, now I doubt he's black.
Can I win a prize?
Are you a brother?
Well, you don't think a black guy...
Yes, I am.
You don't think a black guy could... You know, I bet he doesn't know the band America. I bet everybody knows the song.
I'm surprised.
America,
Rob, I'm surprised your mind would be that closed.
Come on, guys. America, the pop mothers and the papas. All that stuff.
How many songs? Let's find out how white you are, black man.
That's a good test.
How many songs by America can you name off the top of your head?
A Horse With No Name.
And?
That's about it. That's all right now I can name. But I know many white bands.
Well, you name some. How about white bands?
Hold on. Here's one for you. How old are you? First, let me find out your demo.
34.
34. Okay. Name as many Barry Manilow songs as you can.
Mandy? Is that Barry Manilow?
That's
right.
Good.
Very good. Right.
Okay. And then you guys were talking about a Billy Joel song that's absolutely great. She's Got a Way.
She's Got a Way. That is a white song.
I got news for you. You're not black. I got news for you. You're not black. I'm sorry. You're a white man. You're a white man. White man. White man. White man phoning.
Jimi Hendrix?
White man on the phone.
Jimi Hendrix. Excuse me, while I kiss the sky.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
Tough to pin him down.
All right, Whitey, nice talking to you.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
I hope you went on Survivor. Bye-bye.
You're pulling for that team.
He's on two tries.
A black guy who's quoting America.
And one of the worst Billy Joel songs. I hate She's Got Away. But with a name like Away. Is that the breakup with Christie Brinkley era
no,
of Billy
Joel?
No,
that.
That's way before
that's
that.
And besides, any card-carrying Caucasian would say to you, Sister Golden Hair, Ventura, Highway, hello.
That's the big three.
Daisy Jane.
Now you're going into DJ land, though.
That, right is,
now. See, now you go a little further.
Don't cross the river.
How about
cross the river.
How about the Barry Manilow songs?
I need you. Oh, Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow songs.
Can't Smile Without You. Copacabana. Trying to Get the Feeling Again. Weekend in New England. Theme to American Bandstand. Looks Like We Made It. Could This Be Magic? It's a Miracle.
Oh, now you are...
Yeah. Hold on a second. You know what I love about this?
And I'm in Fagland.
It's the only chance I get to call you faggot.
Even now?
Wow! Big 10.
Is that 10?
I don't know, but I have a cranberry juice and my butt's bleeding over.
Well, I believe I am.
He's a fag.
Faggot of the day.
I write the song.
Faggot of the day. Oh, and of course, thank you, Buzz. I write the song.
It's 11.
All right. Please crown Buzz somebody. We'll come back with the tribute, the late tribute... to the great Barry White.
A man who really crossed all lines as far as his music
and
is concerned.
Thank God now that things are back to the way they used to be.
This is art. Yeah. I really think this is art.
And I think you're going to really like it with the new digital enhancements we have this year.
I think people will truly enjoy
Remastered.
It.
Remastered. If you're a fan of Barry White, stay right there.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Good morning! You're here with Dingo.
And the baby. And if you're thinking about changing the station,
don't you do it!
Today we got homeless Hank from the dumpster out back with us.
Hey, I got an idea. How about the first three women willing to come down and have sex with Hank get free boob jobs courtesy of Dr. John Viner?
Are you reading my mind, man?
Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Dingo and the baby.
Is this Dingo?
Yes, honey. What's your name?
Cindy. With an S.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, yeah. That's hot. That is hot. Tell me something, Cindy. How'd you like to come down here and get naked for us?
Sure.
Whoa! I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah. We got a show.
We definitely got a show.
Oh, yeah. There's a show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Delicious Fagolini. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, come on. All my brothers out there now.
Boogie.
This is beautiful.
Come on, man. It's Bam Bam alone.
I remember all my life.
Where am you, man?
Raining down the
damn. I'm cold in the rain.
Where are you, bitch?
Where am that bitch, Mandy? Where am she? Who requested the song, Rob? What was the guy's name?
Trayvon.
Oh, hey, listen, that Family Guy thing about naked chicks.
Right.
So sorry, friends. The Reno Style Show for tomorrow night has been canceled.
In its place, look for Dingo and the Baby. Yeah.
The guy at the Hard Times Cafe is just a dick on wheels. We will reschedule that information about what happened in the first hour of the show today. I guess we'll be in the recap on today's hot, steamy log. And
Dormant!
Speaking of our website, hey, Yanni.
Hi there.
Tomorrow,
I didn't do what I was thinking about.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You had the very
you did.
Loud
it was very
exhale.
Subtle, yeah.
Johnny, tomorrow we will have our Fantasy Football Week 3 update. Explain to me, please, how people can go to our website, because Rob tells me that you have all the stuff up there. How do you find it?
On the very front page, the tab that used to say Scuttlebutt now says Sports. Click on that, go to the football page, and it's all right there for you.
Including, like, do we have our lineups? Do we have
the standings in there and what transpired over the weekend?
A recap. Right. A recap. So not all the way the players did individually.
That's all. No.
Oh, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll do it on the air tomorrow. Okay. Thank you.
You don't have to.
Welcome.
Sure we do. Sure we do. I'm 3-0. You're 0-3. We've got to. We absolutely have got to. Mike, when we were on vacation.
Yes.
as you know, Barry White had a birthday.
Yes, the late Barry
White. The late, great Barry White.
Yeah.
And we had a tradition for years on this show that we would always do a special tribute to Barry White.
I think this is really designed for his real fans.
And we start by hearing Barry White, the man, the legend, behind the scenes.
Right.
A very rare tape
yeah.
of Barry White attempting to cut a commercial.
And then, of course, you'll move into the musical tribute.
Our musical tribute to Barry White. The Maestro of Love.
They've given him a terrible copy here.
Anyway, here he is.
It's very generous, bud.
Happy,
it's true.
Happy belated birthday, Barry White.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. May be an array of international stars and celebrities from all over, from the world. Hi, this is Barry White.
Not happy.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is Saturday and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. For the first thing. To a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Waco, Texas. I'm cutting the f*** out, Tony.
Come on, Tony.
Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, one more time. Invite you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Saturday and Sunday.
Not happy.
Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th.
He will be missed.
Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming of celebrities, reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of tennis tournaments. The first, second, and third rounds.
It is bad copy, Buzz.
Tedious.
Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
We miss you.
9th and 10th.
We miss you.
One more time.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Barry
Coming
White.
Down, though.
Hi, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas. Welcoming celebrities, some reception on Friday. Let's take it after the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Okay? Let's do it over. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend.
There we go, beautiful
in Waco,
weekend.
Texas. On Friday, this ass. These words up, man. I mean, he's got words that he don't even need.
You're right, Barry.
Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful
weekend
in Waco,
beautiful
Texas.
Beautiful.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming celebrity reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of the tennis tournament, the Barry White concert with the Love Unlimited Orchestra, of course, and the post-concert reception on Saturday. And a championship semi-finals on Saturday. Man, I'm going to cut this shit off. All right, fuck this. I'm going to take it up to... concert Love Unlimited Orchestra. That's where I'm going to stop at. So get your tickets now. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College in cordially... cordially invite your ass to come on down. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend on Friday, Saturday, just for this. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College.
That's just part one of the tribute. Barry White, the Maestro of Love. No idea how old he would have been, but I remember when we were on vacation, it was one of those things that they flashed on the bottom of the TV screen saying, you know,
right,
today's the anniversary of the late Barry White.
Would it have been his 50-something, I think.
Well, let's...
What's that?
Older than that?
Happy birthday
to you.
This is not Barry White music.
No. Without further ado, let's just do a little mini tribute to Barry White.
Very nice.
And
places, please.
Well, here we go.
We got it together, didn't we? definitely got our train the other room. Isn't it nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, it's really, really nice.
Yeah. I could overdo it here, but I don't.
I can easily feel myself slipping more and more away.
We gotta wait till he gets in here.
That super world on my own. Nobody but you. And me. We've got it together, baby.
Next song.
Yeah, and you gotta hold yourself back with the new technology,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
because
really
you
do.
Really could get out of control with it, but no, still playing it like Mozart.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. Many times we love, we shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Yeah.
All right. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, baby.
More rhythmic than he used to be.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
Barry Eugene Carter.
Oh, really?
That was his given. Yeah, let's listen to him.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
This is the best one.
This is the best one.
This is the definitive one. This is the one of all of them.
My hands just won't be still. I love you, baby.
He's in bed.
Because the first thing he says in that last song you played is "Feels so good."
Thank you.
Greg, what if he could really do that?
Oh, I'm sure he could.
Can you imagine that show? Probably not that rhythmically.
He's the maestro.
Need another microphone.
Yeah, you need another microphone in a special place.
Clock on the wall. The wall. You already spent 15 minutes.
Boy, you did them faster back to back that time. And that last song really is the definitive one because it starts with Feels So Good.
That is the best one, isn't it?
It is. I mean, because it's the one that. And you did it one time where you waited, you disciplined yourself and waited till he said Feels So Good and then you let it go.
But the good thing is that the fart sound effects work with any song.
Right, yeah. Picture Barry Manilow on stage.
Bloody parts, I mean.
You can only, if you waited that long through that interview, you can even do it with just one. When you wait till he sings, and the very first time he sings, as soon as he pauses after the first lyric.
On Mandy's?
On anything. Anything. But it's got to be afterwards.
It's a waiting game, but it works. Can't laugh and I can't
sing. It hard wow. To do anything. The great Barry Manilow. So many classics. To get the rights to some of these songs, you know, and just to release it for Christmas. Might be a lot of fun. Says Barry will sing about Christmas.
So, it doesn't work with the Beach Boys, does it?
Well, not with a group unless you're going to play them simultaneously. Can't you do that? Like after they sing, can't you like hit them all at the same time?
Like all the Beach Boys, you mean?
No, it doesn't work for the Beach Boys. Well, you're playing it as a percussion instrument. Oh, it does. So nice, though, that you haven't tired of your new toy.
No,
you do enjoy it.
I do.
It does work better for solo artists, though.
Yes, it does. Okay, one more time. We'll just let it go past the intro.
Yeah.
this is Michael Hughes. Mmm, money. Tell me about cheese. Yes, red, in a box, warm to the touch. Now, this must end. Goodbye, and goodbye.
I remember all my life.
A signature. A punctuation mark, if you will.
Oh, yeah. The essence of this show.
And a happy...
Hard to believe they don't love us in New York. Hard to believe that they're giving every other guy in the company the break.
Like they don't do that up in New York.
Come on.
Like that right, one guy ain't doing it right now.
Like right now, someone's not playing a Barry Manilow record with a bunch of fart sound effects. You know, that is friends cutting edge.
That's absolutely.
Right. If you will pardon... The pod.
With an emphasis on cutting.
We will go to the clean Buzz Burbank.
Yes.
Bob Burbank's news.
And he wouldn't want you to know it, but he does that too.
Oh, yeah. He farts like an animal in the woods.
How many times a day you figure you break
one? Unlike you, perhaps, I've never counted.
I don't know. Unlike me, the pig.
Of course I do.
I tell the pig. Zero?
Never.
He doesn't. You don't think he farts?
That's why his stomach blew up.
When is the last time that you had a big... I'll give you a perfect example.
Uh-huh.
And with me and Janet, it's new because...
Oh, yeah? Yeah, because you're still kind of getting used to being here, right?
So it was Sunday morning at approximately 5 a.m.
Your diary.
I had a fart that I know would rank on the Andy Richter scale.
Right.
So what I did was I went into the bathroom.
Oh, you're still at that stage.
I shut the door. I turned on the fan.
Right.
Now, I did not have to go BM.
Right. You knew it was air?
It was simply air.
Right.
But it was deafening.
Did she hear it even with the fan on?
Oh, yeah. When I got back into the bed, she said, that fan did not help at all. I said, well, welcome to my world, darling.
And that tells me now you can save the effort. You don't need to get up.
Welcome to my world.
I think for a long time you'll need to position yourself differently.
Yeah, you know? Right, so she doesn't like walk into a wall of sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you're sleeping back to back, I roll away from Carla when we're sleeping together. When we finally, you know, get to sleep, I have my shoulder and my back is to her, and she kind of rolls away too. So if I was to
fart,
release at that moment,
you would just go into her butt.
It would be very disturbing.
Would go into her butt.
And come back as a bigger, better one.
I just said that. Go into her butt. That's the last time I had a big beeper.
Right.
When's the last time you had a grade A, the type where someone would say, roll down a goddamn window, Bob?
Well, I didn't make note of it, but I think the last one that would have been impressive to anybody would probably have been, I'm going to guess, Saturday.
I remember.
You remember that one, Rob?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Right. What was the circumstances, Bob?
Well, you know, you eat food and you drink soda pop, and so you swallow air, and eventually air has to come out.
You just hate playing our game, don't you?
Was it more sound than odor?
Yeah, it was actually just sound, I think.
I was just saying, yeah, because there's never any appreciable odor.
No, there is, but not on this occasion.
I was going to ask you.
I don't keep a diary of this, and I don't even make a mental note of it.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to remember the really good ones.
Didn't know that.
When's the last time you had a real nice BM?
This morning.
I mean, but was it a real nice one?
Oh, yeah.
He's proud of that.
Why was it nice?
Well, it was perfectly formed. I had no more order than a hot biscuit.
Good answer.
That's the right answer.
Good answer.
That's the right answer.
You got the right answer.
All right, Bob the Farter.
Right.
We'll have his news coming right up.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. With a good taste of bile, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go with Bob's News. Everybody's favorite newsman, Bob, brought to you tonight by Cox. COX Business Services, providing broadband-based high-speed internet, local, long-distance phone, and video. Data solutions, too, to all-sized businesses. Cox, COX. Business.com. They bring you the news, and now here's Robert. Hello, Bob.
Don and Mike.
gasoline prices go up and down because the whole thing's rigged by politicians.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, let's move on to the next story.
Not the ranting.
We know that.
I want to point something out about that statement, though. It's not the ranting of a conspiracy theorist or a news guy bitter about the Limbaughs and O'Reillys. No, it's what nearly half of all Americans believe, according to a new survey. In spite of assurances from politicians and oil executives that many factors other than politics affect gas prices, we're not buying it.
Yeah, like the O'Reilly factor.
The latest Gallup poll shows that 42% of us believe the Bush administration, quote, deliberately manipulated the price of gas so it would decrease before this fall's elections.
And it's ludicrous.
And a third of that 42% are Republicans. Many gas station owners say they, too, are suspicious. They say they make their money these days on sodas and hot dogs.
God, I hate manipulation.
They should survey all gas station owners that are missing their right hand.
Oh, that's right. He owns a convenience store.
I did my own survey. I found out what Americans want.
Yeah.
Americans want.
Could you rub my butt? I sat on it so much, it's a little sore.
You'd have a happy country if all the politicians did that.
Amen. That's what we want. We don't want low gas prices.
Could you rub my butt?
Oh, yeah.
A little BR.
Who wouldn't want a nice butt rub?
Nice.
No one here. Would you be okay with that? I mean, on the outside?
Sure.
Good for you.
Thank you for your candor.
You're coming along.
Thank you for your candor, Mr. Geronimo.
Not from you.
No, of course not. I wasn't asking.
I wanted to do it. That wasn't the offer.
Millions of people went to the Internet yesterday to see what millions more saw the day before on Fox News, the Chris Wallace interview with Bill Clinton, in which, by some accounts, Clinton turned purple-faced with anger after a challenging question from the smirky Chris Wallace.
Chris, I really want you to rub my butt.
It was the highest rating for Fox News Sunday since the U.S. found Saddam Hussein in that spider hole.
Could you rub my butt?
But what millions of people saw on YouTube was an edited version of the interview. Missing was part of Clinton's comparison to what he did about Osama versus what the Bush administration did about bin Laden in its 8 months before 9/11. And today, the video is gone entirely from YouTube. In its place is a message indicating that the copyright owner, Fox News, ordered it taken down.
Ah.
We've got the tape.
Yes.
We played part of them yesterday. We will play more of them as it becomes, if it becomes more relevant.
Right.
But I was going to ask you something. I know that you love stepping on necks, and I'm right there with you with
sure.
Fox News. But generally speaking, is it not a trend that I've noticed that more and more broadcast companies are taking their stuff off YouTube, that either they're totally embracing it and say running anything you want, or they're like NBC, for instance.
They're freaking out about it.
Being real dicks about it. I know that I was looking for some stuff from, I think it was maybe The Office.
Right.
Because Janet keeps telling me what a fantastic show that is.
Gotta buy it on iTunes.
Yeah, so I was on YouTube,
right.
And it had like 8,000 things, and all of them came up as flagged, not available.
Right.
The entire industry is up in arms. Last week, Universal, which I guess owns NBC,
right.
Said nothing, no. And if you don't stop, we're going to sue you. On the same day, Warner Brothers they could take whatever they wanted. They
right.
Gave it to them for free.
And they went into a merger. They went into some sort of licensing arrangement.
So they have no idea. The industry has no idea how to handle it.
All I know is that all the NBC stuff, like the My Name is Earl clips and
right.
Everything, those are all gone and
you won't see it now that the Warner Brothers deal is taken.
Right, and Buzz, like you said, here's the thing. Well, I don't even have a video iPod,
right.
So I don't know about it. I just have the regular kind that plays music. But I don't know if I would want to spend 99 cents to download a TV show.
$1.99, but if it's a show,
$1.99?
If it's an episode you missed and you really want to see it, it's just not available anywhere else, it's worth it.
I did it once or twice. I did two videos because, it's a video iPod. You wanted to see it.
Right.
But the screen is so small. I mean, you can TiVo it.
They sell an adapter for that. You can hook it up to your TV, see it on the big screen if you want.
That's really great, Buzz. They have another machine called a VCR that does the same thing.
But not if the show's not available otherwise.
You tape it.
And in between are broadcast companies that are selective. They allow some.
I hate it when you two fight.
They allow, we'll settle this in the parking lot later, you. Some broadcast companies are being selected. They'll allow some stuff to be up there, and then they'll take back other stuff. In this case, it was news and something Fox will never run or show again.
I have a YouTube question.
Yes, sir.
Does YouTube have porn?
Because I was watching.
That I don't know.
I went today to YouTube and I was going to watch the thing about the
commercials.
I've seen all those, right. But I went to the coffin guy that catches on fire.
Oh.
Thing you talked about yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
And I had to do a login thing where I normally don't have to do that. Normally I can just look for anything. And they said I have to log in to make sure that if you're 18, you can't watch this because it's disturbing. They gave me a little warning before
it's
I got to
macabre.
See it. But they don't have any porn, though, right?
Right. As far as I know, no.
You know, and as far as that Clinton thing goes,
yes,
I think most people are in agreement that Clinton won that fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that it was good seeing him give the guy from Fox his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
Just a note from me to the DNC, the Philistine. Not that something good happens to the Democrats. Please do not send the Ferengi James Carvel to crow about it on the Today Show.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it does more harm than good. Because
mm-hmm.
you look at that guy with those big freaking ears and that alien head going, I know Bill Clinton's here. You know, look at a frosé down in Arkansas. And I tell you what, he know how to give it to him. What for?
Makes me want to vote for Bush.
I know.
It really does.
It's either him or the screaming demon Howard Dean.
It's just someone should just shut them the frig up.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what'll kill that buzz, that Bush buzz, is if they bring his wife on, James Carville's wife on.
Can
you
right.
see her, who's really, slowly but surely, this is the she's turning into him.
Yeah, right.
She's turning into an issue. She's going to lose all her hair and grow bigger ears.
She does have that weird
she
jaw
does.
Like he does.
She's
yeah.
getting more angular, and she's getting more bony in the face. It's very frightening.
They say couples look more alike over
mm-hmm.
time.
Next to the pot.
Officially, President Bush has been a United Methodist for as long as anybody can remember.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
Can you really like the Baptist Church, Robbie?
Methodist. He's Methodist. A United. Methodist. I'm as surprised as you are.
Mm-hmm.
He said his religious beliefs are part of the reason for his mission in the Middle East. But this week, leaders of the United Methodist Church were here in Washington protesting the war and urging the president to pull U.S. troops out of Iraq. The church staged 350 other anti-war protests throughout the country over this past week.
Buzz, can I have a moment for prayer?
Sure.
Dear Jesus.
Could you rub my butt?
Thank you.
I hope your prayers are answered.
Quote, amen or it doesn't count.
Amen.
There you go. Quoting a United Methodist bishop, our demand is to end the war now. Dozens of men...
Buzz?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Huh?
Bishop to Rook 3. Thank you.
You sunk my battleship.
Checkmate.
Could you rub my butt? Thanks, Homer. I love this show.
Dozens of men in the Chicago area are suing a doctor who offered enlargement surgery, you know, down there.
Ooh.
One 44-year-old married man spent thousands of dollars on multiple surgeries.
Michael Elton is Buzzfeed Bank.
Yes, and sadly, the result, according to his lawyer, is a thing that, quote, is grotesque and doesn't even resemble a penis.
Michael Elton is Buzzfeed.
And then I sat and really worked it.
And that's not just fancy lawyer.
No, look out! Look out!
That's not just fancy lawyer talk. Dozens of other men also claim to have shrunken deformities now, thanks to...
this is Robert the Mailman.
Thanks to Dr. Sheldon Berman.
Who he?
45 malpractice claims have now been filed, and the state has begun the process of revoking Sheldon's license. Dr. Berman's technique has been ruled unsafe by the American Urological Association, something you might want to check before letting a guy cut on your thing.
Yee. I go to Dr. Chris Berman.
But the good doctor says it's the patient's fault for not following up surgery with proper hygiene.
Here's a coupon. Good on your next visit.
And he says it's their fault for not using the weights they were supposed to attach. But be sure and visit...
Oh, the weights on the guy's penis?
Right. That is, and I guess for many centuries, has been a lengthening a procedure.
You guys are surprised about that? I've done that for years. I've got them on right now.
So be sure and visit...
You're a goddamn genius!
Thank you. Be sure and visit the doctor's website, lengthandgirth.com, and buy his do-it-yourself contraptions. I'm sure they're safe. After all, the doc says he taught himself the surgery, and without any background in either plastic surgery or urology. By the way, the American Urological Association says there is no medical way to improve on what nature gave you down there.
Buzz, we do have someone on the phone who has had their penis enlarged by a doctor. Hello.
Hello, guys.
Hi, how did you like your procedure?
Procedure is cut off.
How do you spell penis?
P-U-Z-Z-Y.
Puzzy.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, guys.
Tom. Bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Remember the kid who tried to board the plane?
Buzzy. Hey, no penis. Fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
Remember the kid who tried to board the plane with his mom and they found a penis pump in his luggage?
Fuzzy pump.
I've got an update on him when we come back.
Oh, goody.
We'll be right back.
Fuzzy.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the word. I'll tell you the word.
Designed for your dog, but fit for human consumption. The Don and Mike Show.
The word
is two words. F-U. Those are the words that we have. And remember, you can't spell fun without F-U.
That is correct.
Those are the words that we have for the people at the Hard Times Cafe that unceremoniously canceled our show tomorrow night. They were concerned about language.
Lingo.
I mean, with all the battles that we fought on the air, to get a place and to promote it for 2 weeks and say you're going to have 800 people show up, and then the day before, the guy calls up and says, first, no bad language. I got to have control over content. You can't say anything demeaning towards women. And, oh, yes, your bikini contest is absolutely forbidden. Other than that, come and have a great time.
Yeah.
Hey, eat me.
And Michelle was going to be in that contest, too, wasn't she? Oh, I'm just having a little fun.
We are
fun.
Going down a slippery slope, Mike.
Not edible.
I do not believe that was a contest that involved one's eyes. I believe that was a contest that simply involved breasts. We were not.
That was the sound of a double, the right field.
Touché.
We were not looking for a person that has one eye that goes one way and one eye that goes another way.
You are seriously letting people look in the keyhole at this show today.
Is either this poor sales lady who has been pregnant now for 28 months? She's the one that didn't tell the guy. Although it's as much the client's fault as it is the salesperson's fault. Neither one of them seemed to know what the show was all about.
Huh.
So we apologize and we will reschedule our Reno style show, which was scheduled for tomorrow night. We are working on a backup plan right now, and we'll let you know as soon as it comes through.
Very good.
And once again, here is our friend Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Donna, Mike. So it's definitely worth our time to update the story about the Chicago guy who tried to board a plane for Turkey with his mom, and security went up at the airport when they found his penis pump in his luggage. In a panic, not wanting his mom to know what he'd brought with him on the trip, he told the security in whisper tone that the device was a pump. Because he's Turkish, they misunderstood him. They thought he said bomb.
Bomb.
He was arrested and charged.
Learn the language.
He was arrested and charged with a felony. The charges have been dropped. Authorities now realize it's partly on them. Mr. Amin did work for the U.S. Army in Iraq as a translator. Perhaps they couldn't understand him either. Anyway, it was all just a wacky and embarrassing mix-up. Amin says he will never travel with his pump again.
Well, maybe Edie was just saying his penis is the bomb.
It's Edie Beedie.
You'll soon be able to fly with KY jelly again, though, if you don't mind putting it in a Ziploc bag.
And that would have been a better trip to Vegas if I'd had that.
Our national nightmare is over.
Yes, you can fly with KY again if you don't mind putting it in a Ziploc.
Incredible!
In a Ziploc bag and telling security what it is.
No, look out!
The U.S. So you mean you have to go through NSA and you'll say, this is my lubricating jelly.
My personal lubricant, yes.
You have to say that.
Well, yeah, they're going to want to know what it is.
Well,
yeah.
But this is very confusing for someone who doesn't travel a lot.
Know.
Because I heard and
but when you do, you have lots of cosmetics.
That is, you can now buy bottled water if you buy it after you get through security.
Right.
You can bring like 3 ounces of shampoo with you.
Exactly.
You cannot still bring some makeup stuff.
And that's why I've actually gotten a patent on a new invention.
Why?
Lubricating bottled water.
Oh, it's,
you can drink it.
It's
you
a beverage.
Can use it.
It's a lubricant. You can now carry on up to 3 ounces of each item, as Don said. You do have a pharmacist scale, don't you?
I'm talking to the people at Propel.
And each item has to be in a clear zip-top plastic bag. Starting today, you can also carry on beverages, any other liquid or lotion or gel, so long as you buy them in a secured area at the airport. The ruling comes just days after a British intelligence expert reported it's virtually impossible to create liquid explosives to blow up a plane
during a
flight.
I like the fact that we're not changing these rules all the time.
Yeah.
I like the fact that over
we're
the
not
last,
reacting.
I like the fact that 6 weeks ago, really, you had to get naked and touch your toes to get on a plane.
Right.
And now they're going, oh, well, you know what?
And they conveniently, like, sweep away the fact that you couldn't make these bombs that they arrested all these people for.
Right.
Said it couldn't be done. And I swear to God, I have to give credit where credit is due. The very first person to tell me that,
yep.
I swear to God, and he got his information off the internet, was Joe Ardinger.
Also, Joe.
I swear to God.
Joe is also a retired British intelligence officer.
Oh, at RNN.
Joe, I got to give you your props on that one because you said that. You said that like the week after that story broke, and you said you can't make these bombs, and then it went mainstream, and now they're going, oh, incidentally, you couldn't make bombs like that. Everybody's forgetting this crap.
RNN.
It's ridiculous.
Man's beanbag ties up traffic when we continue.
We'll be right back. Oh, Buzz has more balls news. Okay.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating. And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ouch. Need a quick reset, please.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's bring the big love for the Don and Mike Show.
Four tops here, and now the fifth top. Here is Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Oh, get ready to snicker like you're in the fifth grade. Some guy's beanbag tied up traffic in Salt Lake City yesterday. A love sack beanbag chair fell off a truck, causing a crash on I-15 near the split. The driver was... The driver was charged with not securing his load. In Little Rock, Arkansas, just about a mile from Texarkana, police responded to the report of a man entering a home illegally. The man ran away before the cops got there. The lady of the house says the guy was completely naked and told her he was going to have sex with her.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
She told him she didn't think so and asked him to leave. Police caught up with the 19-year-old a short time later while he was running naked through a field pulling horses' tails. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode and no appearance. Good day to you, sir.
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 And Kong.
1 hour till dancing.
All right. Through the keyhole.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.